Asia-Pacific Economic Conference in Chile. ABC's Ann Compton in Santiago.
This is an economic summit, and most of these Pacific Rim countries have been through a boom and bust and been affected by terrorism after September 11th. There are no treaties or dramatic decisions on the table here. Topic A is the fear that North Korea, who does not belong, may not stop its nuclear weapons program.
The International Red Cross says it's deeply concerned about the killings of civilians and non-combatants in Iraq and the failure of all sides to respect human rights laws.
We have seen very sad examples of people being abducted and beheaded, and at the same time we have seen people being shot while they were wounded and not in a position to fight back.
Roland Hugenin Benjamin with the Red Cross. Baghdad exploded in violence today as insurgents attacked a U.S. patrol and a police station, assassinated four government employees, and detonated several bombs. One American was killed. Six teenagers from New York's Long Island have now been taken into custody for allegedly throwing a frozen turkey through a windshield of a moving car, critically injuring a woman. The teenager who tossed the turkey faces up to 40 years in prison. This is ABC News.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee, at your grocery store.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain, it wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Duncan's Diamonds is having the largest pre-Christmas sale ever. Everything in the entire store is now specially priced. With only a few weeks left till Christmas, now is your opportunity to buy quality diamonds and jewelry at unbeatable prices. At Duncan's Diamonds, you'll find five times the selection of average jewelry stores. See the largest selection of selected diamonds available at New York wholesale prices. Now is the perfect time to lay away for the holidays. Open a Duncan's charge account and save with fantastic holiday financing plans available during this pre-Christmas sale. Don't even consider paying retail prices for jewelry. Come to Duncan's Diamonds, where everything in the entire store is specially priced for this pre-Christmas sale. You'll find selected diamonds at wholesale prices. You'll also find the best styles and designs. Duncan's Diamonds, located in Fort Myers, 1/2 mile south of Pagefield on U.S. 41, and in Port Charlotte at the Town Center Mall.
Wholesale Pricing Index, Rappaport Diamond Report, Volume 27, Number 26.
Wondering which toys will be a big hit for the children this holiday season? Before you start your seasonal shopping, Week News consumer investigator Chris Safadi brings you an exclusive series, The Great American Toy Test. Make sure your kids wake up Christmas morning with the best toy picks under the tree. Sunday, only on Wink News at 11.
Now, Millionaire's got a brand new lifeline called Switch the Question.
Computer, please switch the question.
Join Meredith Vieira on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Weeknights at 7 on Wink TV.
The holiday show that sparks a frenzy makes history.
You will have to see it to believe it.
Oprah's Favorite Things 2004. Next Oprah,
Monday at 4. Then after Oprah on Wink News at 5, it's time for one of Southwest Florida's favorite things, the Naples tree lighting. Join Wink News anchor Lois Tony and chief meteorologist Jim Farrell as they count down to the kickoff of the holiday shopping season. Monday on Wink News at 5, right after Oprah.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? Lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Ask your doctor to tell you more about the link between diabetes and heart disease, or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
This is a quiet message about noise and the possibility there's too much of it in your life. Audiologists know that everyday sounds, like lawnmowers, music with headphones, even the commotion of a crowded restaurant, can hit 85 decibels. That's loud enough, over time, to cause permanent hearing loss. So keep an eye on your ears. For more on hearing health and the 85 Danger Zone, visit ASHA.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon. You are listening to the Guy James Show, WPTK, Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida, and I am ready to have a great show for you today. I hope you're ready as well. Coming to you from the sandy beaches and blue waters of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida, Naples, Florida area. And so glad to have you all along with us today, all the local people listening on the station here, and all the people listening around the world on the Internet. So glad to have such great listeners. We say that week after week. We've got the most informed radio listeners that exist in talk radio right here. So never mind the mindless pap that goes on in other talk shows. We got the smart people right here, I always like to say. So thanks for being with us today. We've got a lot to talk about. Another wild week. We don't have near enough time today to discuss all the issues that took place in Washington this week. Probably one of the craziest weeks that I think I've ever seen in politics. And some of you may not realize, but we're going to talk about that throughout the program today. A whole lot to talk about, and we hope to cover each and every issue. We're going to talk about the red states versus blue states today. Hey, and by the way, I discovered a book this week. I want you to all go out and get it. And believe me when I tell you, this is a book that has to be in every home in America. It's called The Great Divide by Dr. John Sperling. The Great Divide, and I promise you, if you don't have this book, that you will find this one of the most enlightening, informative reference and information book that you will ever find. I got my copy about Wednesday, and it's been hard to put it down. It's an amazing book, and it will help you become better educated about the political system and the people who run it here in this country. And like I said, The Great Divide by Dr. John Sperling, it's a must. And by the way, we're going to have Dr. John Sperling as our guest here in the very near future, perhaps next week. I'm not exactly sure yet, but he will be on with us very, very soon. And by the way, if you don't know who Dr. John Sperling is, he's a very wealthy gentleman that owns the University of Phoenix that's on the Internet, some 145,000 students, and he founded and owns the University of Phoenix. So a fascinating man. Get that book. You won't be sorry, I promise you. Again, welcome to everybody that's with us on Democrats.com and DemocraticUnderground.com and all the great websites that we visit around the Internet, the BuzzFlash people, Smirking Chimp people, and all the folks that regularly join this program. It's a pleasure to correspond with not each and every one of you. We couldn't do that. Been flooded with email this week, and although I must say some of the email has slowed down considerably. Have you noticed that? I mean, I was getting probably a dozen or 15 emails from the DNC every day. Now it's down to one or two. The candidates, you know, that mail's just about dried up. But a lot of political news in the news, as usual. Have any of you heard Mr. George W. Bush promise to bring Americans together again? I just wondered. I know at his first inaugural he said he wanted to be a uniter, but as you know, that was pretty much out the window when he left the reviewing stand that day. How about now? Have you seen him making any promises to get out and really unite people in the... No, you haven't? Have there been any meaningful gestures toward the Democrats to smooth things over so that maybe, just maybe, the Capitol building can once again be a place of give and take and political compromise in the best interest of the people of the United States instead of necessarily just the parties? You know, it really, he hasn't done that, and from what I can see, he has willfully embarked upon a path that will divide this nation even more than it is already. And as soon as you face the fact that he doesn't give a damn what anyone else thinks because he's going to have his way, and 50% of the public be damned, the better off you'll be. That's what he's saying. Screw you. I won the election. I'm going to use this tiny majority I have to pound into you, into the ground until you submit to my will. That is what he's saying, and it couldn't be more clear. They're all saying it. Look at what's going on with these political appointments right now. Let's start with Porter Goss, and we're going to talk about him a little more in the show a little later. But, you know, one of our very own here in the Fort Myers area, Goss appears in front of the Senate committee and promises to be nonpartisan at the CIA. He swore that, right? Now, we all knew that was a laugh, but what I don't understand is why the hell did the likes of Bob Graham and Bill Nelson approve of his nomination? You know, I long admired Bob Graham and made no secret of that fact, but this time he's way off base and he allows his friendship to interfere with his good judgment on this one. Nelson, I just don't know why he approved of Goss. But look at what Goss is currently doing in the CIA. Have you kept track of this? With the urging and blessing of the White House, he's conducting an authentic old-style Soviet Union purge. Purging the CIA of anyone who is known as a liberal Democrat or perhaps leaked information to the press back when the CIA was trying to save its good name, when all the lies were coming from Cheney and Condoleezza Rice about the war. The CIA tried to defend itself by leaking out the truth about the weapons of mass destruction, what they actually believed. So they're going to purge all those people out of there. They're going to get them out of there. And, you know, my sources tell me that the agency's come to it a standstill and nothing is getting done because the political hacks Goss brought with him to the CIA are carving out their own little fiefdoms and ridding the agency of anyone who disapproves of their ham-handed ways. You know, it's a shameful way to treat career personnel at such an important governmental agency. Then let's take a look at the Bush replacement for John Ashcroft at the Justice Department. Did any of you even for a moment think Bush could replace Ashcroft with anyone scarier? I sure didn't, but now along comes this nice little wonder boy, Alberto Gonzalez. Alberto Gonzalez with the choir boy face in public and the attitude of Ivan the Terrible behind the closed doors. Have you read any of this man's writing concerning the war on terror? Torture is okay, the Geneva Convention is irrelevant and quaint. The U.S. is immune from being prosecuted for war crimes. Yes, this is a good move to lessen the divide between the parties, all right, yeah. You know, let's face it, the Gonzalez appointment is nothing more than an in-your-face move by Bush to show the Democrats that he's going to shove them into irrelevance. And how about Condi Rice taking over at the State Department? You know, here we have a situation where the outgoing Secretary of State has been a total failure on the world stage, has alienated our allies all over the world, gone before the United Nations and swore that Saddam Hussein was an imminent threat to practically everyone on the planet, been proven totally wrong about the whole affair, And now Colin Powell is being replaced by this gal who fed him the bogus information he used in his disgraceful UN performance. Can you believe any rational human being would look at the situation and say, sure, I'll just replace this failure with the one who engineered the whole debacle in the first place and everything will be all right? I mean, that's the logic you have to use in this situation. Does this say anything important to you? It sure does to me. It shows me that Bush is absolutely convinced that all of his moves concerning Iraq have been right on target, and it proves to me that the guy is living in a world that has no reality, no truth. It proves to me that he's far more incompetent and dangerous than I ever dreamed, and it proves to me that our recent campaign was a failure, because how the hell could we allow someone who is so intellectually and morally bankrupt to be elected to the Oval Office? How could our country have gone so far astray? And who knows who will appoint to take over the next vacant cabinet. He put in a new Secretary of Education to replace Rod Page, one of his cronies from the White House again, somebody that's never so much as run a small office, yet, let alone huge department like the Department of Education. And who will he appoint to the next opening in the cabinet? Daffy Duck? Maybe the Easter Bunny. I don't know. It would make just as much sense. That's how insane this is getting, folks. And how absolutely ludicrous this whole situation has become, and yet approximately, and the scary part of it is to me, half of the American public are saying, right on, George, right on. Oh, God help us all. I don't think I've ever been so disenchanted, so discouraged about the people here in this country. I don't know how this happened. Of course, we're going to discuss that throughout the program. 888-602-7500 with your phone calls. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 in Collier County. So I do hope you give us a call. And I would ask you this today. I want to stay on subject. I want to stay on the subject with the calls today. I don't want to get too far away from this because we've got a whole lot to talk about today concerning the big moral question that's being bandied about. Why did the Democrats use this election? Because they didn't have the right moral values. Isn't that what we heard all the time? Didn't have the right moral values. You know, it depends whose morality we're talking about. I wonder how many of you on the right who blindly follow whatever Bush says. I wonder when you hear about smart bombs being dropped in a city like Fallujah and killing half a dozen or so insurgents, and, oh, by the way, also killed a couple of families who were minding their own business, locked in their homes because of fright of what was going on outside. And you say, right on, we killed some more insurgents. And gosh, isn't it too bad that those dozen or so family members got killed? But that's war, you know. It can't be helped. You who might have been protesting outside a family planning clinic when abortions are performed, you who proclaim to put the supreme value on human life by protecting unborn babies, but yet you sanction the killing of thousands of innocent Iraqis, does this not trouble you, you moral values people? You who think you have the high ground on moral values, you know, and you who fight against every kind of public aid from tax money from the poor and the disadvantaged, how is it that you can protest to save the life of an unborn child and then refuse to help feed it because you don't want your tax dollars going to help the poor? You don't want any school lunch programs or after-school programs for poor kids. You fight against all of those things, and you call yourself pro-life? I think pro-birth would be more accurate. You know, at all costs, get them born, but then wash your hands of the whole affair after that. Who are you, people? Moral values? Is that what you call moral values? It's not okay for two life partner men or women to have a formal ceremony recognized by the state so they can share the same insurance benefit as does a traditional marriage, but it is okay to have hundreds of dead Iraqis, people's bodies rotting in the streets of Fallujah because of Bush's war? Moral values? You know, it's time for you to moralize on the gay marriage and abortion issues as long as it's not your son or daughter involved, isn't it? And it's okay if Dick Cheney's daughter is gay, but a horrible immoral act if it's Mr. and Mrs. Joe American's daughter or son down on Pearl Street. You know, if it's okay to overlook it with someone you know, but a terribly big issue against someone in another state, what does that make you? And you know, this barrage in the media against people on the left who are tolerant of these issues. We're pro-abortion, they scream. Let me tell you right here and now that I don't know a single soul, no one I have ever known in my life is pro-abortion. We're all anti-abortion, all of us. You've just used the left's tolerance and compassion on this issue as a club to wield against us politically. Are your Republican legislators doing anything about abortion? No, you say. Well, why not? Because they don't want to. That's why not. They know it's a bogus issue, and that's a valuable tool. You know, it's valuable only as a tool to beat on the left. You are fools being played for political suckers by a bunch of politicians that laugh at you after behind closed doors. I know this to be true. Get a Republican congressman or aide a little tipsy and get him to open his mouth about the abortion issue, and you evangelicals will be horrified at what he tells you. Abortion? What's the big deal? It's only a political hot potato that we throw at the Democrats every couple of years. Who the hell cares? That's the real attitude of the Republican lawmakers. Hey, there are many pregnant women being killed in Iraq. Dead pregnant women and dead babies that'll never be born, and yet you're okay with the war. What does that make you? And so, my evangelical Puritan friends who want to impose your morality on the rest of us, I want you to know that I categorically reject your morality, for your morality is based on hypocrisy and sanctimonious self-righteousness. You're not interested in real morality, but rather only your version of it. And I haven't seen any sign that God up above has put his stamp of approval on your morality. So my hypocritical right-wing friends, go ahead. Proceed with your plans of pushing and pushing until you get your way. Get your Falwells and your Dobsons and your Robertsons to put all the pressure they want on Bush and his gang to advance your Puritan Spanish Inquisition Salem witch trials agenda. It's not going to work because there are many millions of us out here who will fight against you till we draw our last breath. That is my promise to you. That is my morality. I will not force my morality on any of you, but by God, you will not force your morality on me. And I will stand by that till hell freezes over. And I know a lot of other people will, too. Let's go to Harold in Northport. Hi, Harold.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
You know, I'm a little sick of hearing the Democrats beat up on themselves and everything. And, you know, maybe there's something wrong with the rest of the country, and it's not wrong with the Democrats.
That's exactly right.
Think of that?
Exactly right. I haven't beat up on the Democrats. I think we have as much right to the moral ground as anybody else. I think we lead in great ideas in this country. We lead in great government in this country, and we have no reason to hang our heads. A couple of minor issues that need to be cured as far as getting our message out to the public, but I'm not about to beat up on Democrats.
But, you know, it's so pathetic. You know, I still can't believe we lost this election, and I don't think it's anything that Kerry did that wrong. It's more to me that people just didn't look at things right, and, you know, you got this crazy war in Iraq, which shouldn't have been fought. We should have been fighting in Afghanistan, and you got Osama bin Laden still out there, and he looks fat, happy, and healthy now. And, you know, I heard John Kerry that was on TV the other night that said, you know, what lost the election for may have been Osama bin Laden coming on the Friday before, but I don't think that was true because I think a lot of people had their minds made up already.
Well, I think they did, the only exception I'll take with that, and the little bit of beating up I will do, is I don't think they ran a tough enough campaign. I respect John Kerry tremendously, and John Edwards, two great people, two absolutely great moral and ethical people, and probably a little too much so, because I've said all along that we needed to fight fire with fire, and believe me, to me, that election was lost by the time those Swift Boat veterans got through with him. And I think the first day or two, John Kerry should have come out in public and told
Absolutely.
Them exactly what was what, and he didn't.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. The only thing that really annoyed me was the next day after the election, it was just like they rolled over and played dead.
Well, you know, I don't know why they were so concerned about looking like sore losers. We've been beat to death over that for the last how many years? Last 4 years now, from complaining about the last election. I'm not entirely convinced, although, as I've said all along, I'm not going to say too much about it until I have a smoking gun in my hand. But after reading all that I've read and gotten a hold of information I've gotten a hold of this past week or two, I'm not entirely convinced this was a up and up election. There was massive fraud in it. The only thing is, we can't prove a bit of it. I mean, if you're a thinking man and take a look at some of the issues involved in this election, you know damn well something terrible went wrong someplace.
Yeah, well, have you heard anything from Bev yet?
No, I've been in contact with Bev, but I don't have anything concrete. I have the same same stuff the rest of you have from Bev about the, you know, about the warehouse deal and finding the poll tapes and all that sort of thing. But we need to trace this back to somebody, and we need a commission. If anybody in the Democratic Party's got enough guts, they need to right now. Of course, the problem is how much hope do they have of establishing a committee about on this election when the Republicans are truly running the show, every last bit of it? You know, we're not gonna do anything this next couple of years until we, you know, make a move to take the Congress.
You certainly see what they did with Tom DeLay this past week.
Well, that's an issue right there that to me is it's absolutely fascinating. Preaching moral values, and the same party preaching moral values that has Tom DeLay in it. The same party preaching moral values that passed, you know, rescinded that rule against being standing down after being indicted for a felony. Moral values? Oh, I don't think so. Harold, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you for talking to me, Guy.
Good to hear from you. Hey, I think right now we're probably ready to take a break. We ready to take a break, Biz? Okay. You are listening to The Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. And we're going to be right back after these words, so don't you go anywhere.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship or marriage, a kindly friend or relative will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend or relative is wrong, dead wrong. And not because you're hideous and undesirable, but because the fact is, many fish are declining in number. Now, here's the part where you might ask, what can I do? Well, I'll tell you. On your next date, if you're going out for a nice meal or cooking a romantic dinner at home, be sure to choose fish that are plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way. That way, you'll help keep the oceans healthy and full of fish, and you'll look like a sensitive, caring person to whomever you're with. Now, that's sure to score you some major points. To find out how to make the right seafood choices and help protect our oceans, and for other easy tips on how to protect our world, log on to getgreen.com. It's easy to do, and let's be honest, now that you're single and lonely, you've got the time. That's getgreen.com. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
America's Second Harvest Network distributes 1.4 billion pounds of donated food each year, feeding 23 million Americans. But if donations stopped today, their warehouses could be empty in a matter of weeks. I'm Wilma McNabb, asking you to join me and Campbell's Chunky Soup in the fight against hunger. Learn how you can help keep America's food banks open and shelves stocked by visiting TacklingHunger.com.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
What a pleasure it is to be with you every Saturday and talk about the issues of the day. A great pleasure, and I'm humbled by the fact that so many of you tune in every week. We've got a tremendously large internet audience and a good local audience, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you, even those of you who don't agree with my position. But how could you disagree, huh? Hey, let's go back to the phone, and by the way, call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04, 479-5540 here in Lee County, and 263-6570 in Collier County. So do give us a call. Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Hi. It's a nice afternoon.
Isn't it, though?
You know, before I get into Social Security reform, when you're talking about morals in this country, I don't think Republicans would know it if morals sat down beside them.
Not after what I've seen this week, they wouldn't.
Oh, this Tom DeLay thing, and then the did you happen to see the president kiss one of his appointees?
Two of them, actually.
A little peck on the lips.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one on the lips was really something my wife asked me about it. I, there's a protocol up there. I think you're supposed to do a handshake, and not the hugging and squeezing.
Well, you know,
he may be off his rocker already.
Mr. Bush has a few deficiencies, I would say.
Yes, he does. And you know, the greatest threat to our country is single parents, not gay marriages. Every time I turn on the news, I see some sob story about a single mother with a child or three children, and one sick, and she can't take care of them. And male or female, these moralists should be insisting that people stay married. To hell with the gay people. They're a very small part of our society, a very unmeasurable percentage. So, and the abortion issue, do you think any politician is going to give up an issue that you can use to run on?
Never.
So on the Social Security reform, I'm listening to all this baloney, and you're supposed to be able to take some of this money and invest it yourself. And of course, if you're a poor investor, you may not have anything in retirement, or you may have a ton of money at retirement.
What happens if 1929 comes along again?
Well, exactly. But what interests me most, and these morons in Washington haven't said anything about it, is this is the government's honeypot. This is where they go to borrow money. If we're not going to be putting money into Social Security, there won't be anything there for them to borrow and spend foolishly. Did you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Why haven't they realized that this president is going to be cutting off their honeypot?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a whole lot the right hasn't realized. Somebody sent me a note here. I was looking for it. Here it is. Somebody sent me a note that said, psychologists must be in heaven. They have one of the largest experiments in self-deception, denial, and groupthink in history of the world going on right under their noses. And denial and groupthink and the self-deception, it couldn't be more clear.
Yeah, well, and I had a terrible experience right before your show started. I was flipping past C-SPAN, and I happened to see Tom DeLay, and I thought, well, I haven't ever really watch this man. I know a lot about him from all the misdeeds he's done. He should be in jail. Let me see what he's got to say. And he's still telling this bull crap where if we reduce the taxes and put the money back in the pockets of the people, it'll generate more business and that'll generate more revenue.
Oh, yeah.
And what a bunch of baloney.
Oh, yeah.
And worked, people believe this.
Worked so well during the Reagan administration, the trickle down. It just all trickled down, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I guess the trickle stopped. You know how some creeks just kind of run dry? They trickle along, and then all of a sudden there's nothing left to trickle. And I guess I found myself in that condition. But I'm going to go out now and try to find some moral standards here. Maybe I'll hear a few.
Well, I hope you can, and I hope you have a moral rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. How about let's talk to Diane up in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, hi, Guy. I agree with everything you were saying on the moral majority there. I'm a Christian, not one of them. But these people definitely would be the ones that they're forgetting who the money changers were, and they're forgetting who the Pharisees and the Sadducees were, because now they're wearing their shoes. And, you know, I don't think they're aware of actually what they're doing. But this economy right now is built on a house of cards, and it is ready to go down. With the typhoons and the earthquakes they've had over in Japan, once they call in the loans that, I mean, I've never seen where America was borrowing money from other countries until Mr. Bush here. And once they start calling in their loans, this country is going to collapse.
Oh, so the Saudis are pulling their money out as fast as they can.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to look at the value of the dollar, how it has fallen against the euro.
Right.
And I mean, I just hope, even though these people did the atrocity of voting that man back in, I still pray that everyone has a good holiday this year, because I think that it's going to be the last good one for a long time.
Diane, thanks for your call. You know, it's going to be one of those holidays where the Republicans give us a bone and they keep the turkey. That's the way I see it. Let's go to, where are we going to go here? We're going to go to Robert in Naples. Hi, Robert.
Mm-hmm. You guys can't.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Robert. Are you on a speakerphone or something? I'm sorry, Robert. You'll have to try and call us back on another line. We can't hear you. We've got Trimble in Fort Myers. Hi, Trimble.
Hello, Guy. How are you?
Great.
First, let me say welcome, Diane. I hate to sound prejudiced, but I had some bad prejudices going against Christians because they were so highly Republican. It's good to see a Christian be a Democrat.
Well, there's millions of us.
Okay. The second thing I want to say is I think it's time to get out our Henry David Thoreau and read up on civil disobedience and do like we did in the 60s and just protest this thing. Protest Bush, give him the hardest 4 years he's ever had in his office. And I actually downloaded my Henry David Thoreau and started reading it, but it was pretty long.
Well, they're asking, somebody sent me, I'm going to have to look for that, somebody sent me a letter to the editor out of the Asheville, North Carolina newspaper, and it was just telling the Democrats, hey, you guys got to fall in line. It's your job to be patriotic Americans now that you lost the election. Hey, that's bull. It's our job to be the loyal opposition. That's what our job is.
And Henry David, one of the founding fathers of our country, said that very same thing. And that's just how I feel. And you know, we did it in the 60s. It's not like it hadn't been done before.
That's right.
You know,
well, that's what it takes. That's what we're going to have to do. I'm appalled. I'm actually just absolutely appalled at the lack of education and knowledge that people went to the polls with this year. It's scaring me. And you know, as I toot our own horn in talk radio, I think talk radio from the left is so important. We're outnumbered so badly, and I think we have to work so hard in getting more liberal talk radio out there so that we can educate these people with some facts instead of that stream of baloney.
I agree.
It comes from
let me say too, and I know you know this already, but one of our strongest forces, which would probably have been the students, the educated ones, didn't go to the polls. I mean, they really stayed back. They should have been. That would have helped.
Well, we didn't get the kind of effort there I thought we would. We really didn't. But I know some of the youngsters are take an issue with that, but from all the polls I've seen, we didn't get the bounce out of that we expected.
That's right.
Dribble, thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Great
sir.
To hear from you. Let's go on over to Jerry in Cape Coral. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Guy. I want to take this conversation in another vein. Basically, one of the things that we're constantly going is that Rove did a better job of running the campaign for the Republicans, the Democrats didn't do sufficient amount. I think that we have to look at an uneducated public, a public which has allowed their leaders through the churches to guide their people, frighten their people, and into following a pattern and saying, well, if you are for this, then you're against the church. And when we look at the morality, we had a president who was in for 4 years. If he truly wanted to overturn Wade Roe, he had sufficient votes in the Senate. He had the majority. He had Dick Cheney sitting on the side, ready to cast that vote if it was a tie. He did nothing. When he was governor of the state of Texas, we talk about morality and being against the death penalty. When he was president for those years in Texas, 130 people were put to death. Where is the morality to that? On the other hand, we as a society are very definitely at fault where abortion is concerned. Abortions have been here from the beginning of time. And basically what happened was we do not educate the adults, the families, to give the unconditional love that the, quote, Bible tells us to give. Jesus tells us to give this. And we should be setting up all kinds of programs to help people, parents specifically, to give unconditional love when their daughter was put in a compromising position, poor judgment, and becomes pregnant. Now the child is absolutely scared out of her mind. What is her alternative? The fact that they kept saying that Kerry was basically for pro-choice, it did not have to mean that he was going to go with a gun behind every woman who became pregnant and was not married, or between those families that felt they couldn't take another child, and put a gun to their head and say, you must have an abortion. I think people forgot, years ago, abortions were held in the cities, and it was in stairwells where the women used coat hangers, and not only did the child expire, but so did the mother.
That's right, and they've tried hard to make that some sort of a Christian moral issue over the years. It was a safety issue. That's exactly what it was. Too many back alley, as you said, coat hanger abortionists doing their dirty work behind filthy places, and women were dying, and the babies too, and it was a mess. I don't know anybody that says, oh great, we're happy somebody's having an abortion. I think it's a bogus issue, and it is a political football that they have clubbed us with over and over and over again, and somehow we're going to have to get out from under that. Jerry, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you.
Bye.
I'm going to say something that some of my southern friends are going to take issue with, but some of my red state friends. Now, if you're one of our regular listeners and you live in a red state and you're a Democrat or liberal, of course, you know you are the exception to what I'm about to tell you here. But in this book, The Great Divide, by Dr. John Sperling, he has it's called The Retro versus the Metro. It's the red states versus the blue states. And several facts just jump out at you when you read that. And what I'm wanting to say here is, and I hope it sufficiently jogged the minds of our opponents in the red states. Am I criticizing the people in the red states? Yes, that's what I want to do. That's what I mean to do with what I'm about to tell you. Am I degrading some people in the red states? Yes, that is what I'm doing. But I'm also wanting to educate you, and I want to let the public, all of the public, know in this country, red and blue states alike, just exactly what's going on with the red states. Why did the red states elect the President of the United States? And especially in light of after what I want to tell you right now, why is it we let the red states elect the President of the United States? Here's some facts for you. National public high school ratings based on the Challenge Index. Out of the top 100 high schools in this country, 85 of them are in the blue states and 15 in the red states. What does that tell you? Out of the top 803 high schools, I don't know why the 803, out of the top 803 ranked high schools in the nation, 623 of them are in blue states, 180 in the red states. That says something very profound, don't you think? And let's take a look at another fact. The highest rated liberal arts and research institutions, as reported by U.S. News and World Report. Now, there's a left-wing rag, huh? Yeah. Liberal arts colleges and research universities in this country. Liberal arts colleges that are highly ranked, the highest rated ones, 104 of them are in the blue states, 6 in the red states. Of the leading research universities, 101 of them in the blue states, 25 in the red states. And here's one I thought was particularly interesting. The Nobel laureates in the United States right now. In physics, Nobel laureates in physics, 81 of them live in the blue states, 1 lives in the red states. In chemistry, 51 of them live in the blue states, 5 live in the red states. In psychology and in physiology and medicine, 75 Nobel laureates in the blue states, 16 in the red states. In economics, 38 in the blue states, 1 in the red states. That totals up of the Nobel laureates here in the United States, 245 in the blue states, 23 in the red states. And who elected the President of the United States? Oh, my God. Don't those numbers mean something to you? They sure do to me. They sure do to me. And they should to you as well. Who was it? I think it was George Burns says, Too bad all the people know how to run this country are busy driving taxi cabs and cutting hair. I love that. Good old George Burns. But if you're a red stater, if you're one of those Confederate flag-waving people, why, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you just exactly what it was that pushed you over the edge to vote for Mr. George W. Bush. Are you a one-issue or two-issue voter? Was it the gay marriage and abortion issue that made you vote towards Mr. Bush? And believe me, we know there are many, many, many of you are a one- or two-issue voter. And it's been my contention all along that if you do vote for president on one or two issues like that, there's something seriously wrong with your thought processes. Seriously wrong. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Going to go to a break, but before we do, I want to play you a little something that John Kerry came out with. And he wanted to thank everybody that voted for him and talk to the Democrats. And where do we go now? We'll go to John Kerry, and then we'll go to a break.
Hey, welcome to our show. Well, you know, they met for one last time. A battle-weary group of vets celebrating victory in a battle they've been fighting for 30 years. It's time for tonight's Real Deal. The Wall Street Journal reported this morning...
I want to personally thank you for what you did in this past election. You rewrote the book on grassroots politics, taking control of campaigns away from big donors. No campaign will ever be the same, or we certainly hope so. You moved voters, helped hold George Bush accountable, and countered the attacks from big news organizations such as Fox, Sinclair Broadcasting, and conservative talk radio. And your efforts count now more than ever. Despite the words of cooperation and moderate-sounding promises, this administration is planning a right-wing assault on values and ideals that we hold most deeply. Healthy debate and diverse opinion are being eliminated from the State Department and CIA, and the cabinet is being remade to rubber-stamp policies that will undermine Social Security, balloon the deficit, avoid real reforms in health care and education, weaken homeland security, and walk away from critical allies around the world. Regardless of the outcome of this election, once all the votes are counted, and believe me, they will be counted, we will continue to challenge this administration. This is not a time for Democrats to retreat and accommodate extremists on critical principles. It is a time to stand firm. I'm going to fight for national standards for federal elections, standards that have both transparency and accountability in our voting system. It's unacceptable in the United States of America that people still don't have full confidence in the integrity of the voting process. I ask you to join me in this cause. And we must fight not only against George Bush's extreme policies, we also have to fight to uphold our own values. And that is why on the first day that Congress is in session next year, as I said during the campaign, I will introduce a bill to provide every child in America with health insurance. And with your help, that legislation will be accompanied by the support of hundreds of thousands of Americans. There are more than 8 million uninsured children in our nation. I mean, that's just unacceptable. That's 8 million reasons for us to stay together and to fight for a new direction. It's a disgrace that in the wealthiest nation on earth, 8 million children go without health insurance. Now, normally a member of the Senate will first approach other senators and ask them to co-sponsor a bill before it's introduced. I'm turning to you. Imagine the power of a bill co-sponsored by hundreds of thousands of Americans that's being presented on the floor of the United States Senate. You can make it happen. Sign our Every Child Protected pledge today and forward it to your family, friends, and neighbors. This is the beginning of a second-term effort to hold the Bush administration accountable, to stand up and fight for our principles and our values. They want you to disappear. They're counting on that. And I'm confident that you're going to prove them wrong. And together, we're going to rewrite history again. Here's what I want you to know. I understand the strength, commitment, and passion that are at the core of what we built together. And I am determined to make our collective energy and organization a force to be reckoned with in the weeks and months ahead. So let's roll up our sleeves. Let's get back to work for our country, for our future. I look forward to working with you, and together we are going to change history. Thank you.
The Guy James Show.
This is Jeff. While he's sleeping, he's providing food and clothing to flood victims in the next state. This is Susan. She's making dinner now. She's also helping people get first aid, CPR, and AED training. And this is Gary. He's stuck in traffic right now. Meanwhile, he's helping to provide measles vaccinations to children in another country. Jeff, Susan, and Gary aren't superhuman. They just donate money to the Red Cross. While they go on about their lives, their donations work together, helping to fund activities that save lives, proving that when we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. So whatever you're doing right now, you could also be helping your community to prepare for the unexpected, all with just a simple donation. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
This is a letter about 8-month pregnant Billy LaTurner that never should have been written. It says, "The driver was drunk and crashed through my daughter's windshield and onto her. Billy was life-flighted to the hospital. Zachary was delivered by C-section 30 minutes after the wreck. Billy lived 8 hours. Zachary lived 9. Signed, Mrs. LaTurner."
What should you do to stop a friend from driving drunk? Whatever you have to. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, Department of Transportation, and RAD.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By 6th grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Just to talk about this afternoon, so little time. I had a little phone call, and it was my fault before we went to the break there. I said we're going to listen to John Kerry, and first we heard a little bit from the Joe Scarborough. I'm going to get to that in a little bit, Scarborough and Savage and Limbaugh show. And I'm going to show you the reasons that I think we lost this election, at least one of the major reasons. And so stay tuned for that. 888-602-7500. 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504. Hope you do call us. It's a toll-free call. And here in Lee County, 479-5540 and 263-6570 from Collier County. What do you think? I want to know why. I want to know why these right-wingers all of a sudden are pouring it on with this moral thing. They've really been emboldened, don't you think? I've heard it over and over and over again, and now I see one of my very favorites of them, Pat Robertson, is calling for a massive mail-in and call-in campaign to Congress to get people to put pressure on the Democrats so that they can take over the judiciary. They want a right-wing judiciary now, and they're not going to settle for anything less. Does it not scare you that people like Pat Robertson and James Dobson and Falwell and like that trying to run the show? Does that bother you? It sure bothers me. Let's go talk to Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie. Is Connie with us?
I listen to Rush Limbaugh on the radio only because I get so aggravated. I like to listen to what he's talking to, his little jello mold mindset.
Sure.
And I heard him, I guess it was the 5th, November 5th, after the election. And, he so aptly, carefully craftily frames what he tells people, and people listen, and they use it as their talking point. They're not using their mind. They're using his mind. He actually said to them, he prefaced something on Social Security. He goes, "You are my mind robots, and I'm giving you your marching orders. This was he chuckled after he said it, and then he went on to say what he said. But this is what he does, and it just annoys me so much. Everybody gets on their own. Such an honor to talk to you, Rush. It's like I just want to get sick.
Oh yeah, dittos, Rush. Mega dittos, Rush.
I know. Just, weak-minded. I feel like everyone is so weak-minded that listens to him. I'm so grateful to have you on the air.
Well, you know, it's okay if you're a reformed alcoholic, you're a reformed drug addict and so forth. That's okay. We've got plenty of compassion for all the people that suffer those things. But when you are as hypocritical as Rush Limbaugh is and demand that all the drug addicts be locked up and have the key thrown away or such things, and then you go out and be a self-admitted drug junkie yourself, with not even the courage to go buy your own drugs, but you send your maid out to do it. I think a man like that, anybody that listens and takes to heart what he says, is just plain, well, I don't want to say it, but you know what I think.
I sure do. And I'm just grateful to have, you know, it just bothers me, though, because what I find that annoys me the most is there's a lot of bullying going on. And they seem to have distilled talking points to a fine line. Noticed that at the convention, that everything was defined so sharply, so succinctly, so that, you know, to me, the weak-minded masses could take those talking points and just say them over and over. And, for instance, I was in the grocery store and I said, you know, to someone, who are you voting for? Oh, I don't know, I'm kind of torn. But Kerry is such a flip-flopper. I said, have you heard that before, or is this your impression? That, you know,
Tell me, that's the time to stop people like that and say, okay, mm-hmm. explain that to me.
Exactly.
Why is he a flip-flopper? Tell me why you think he's a flip-flopper.
I said, how many times have you heard that said?
Oh.
I said, what about what your impression was of him in the debate? Oh, I thought he was pretty good in the debate. And you know what? I got him thinking for 5 seconds. But it's just, you know, they have to realize that, you know, Rush is a propagandist. He's the Tokyo Rose of the right-wing Republicans, and this is what he is. And, you know, he is not a person that's bringing the truth to them. He's bringing lies to them. He's bringing his agenda to them. And they're just buying it hook, line, and sinker.
They love it. They eat it up. Connie, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you, and thank you for your show, Guy.
You're welcome, and glad to have you along with us. You know, I ran across a quote that I thought was so apropos right now. H.L. Mencken, a lot of you know who he is. He wrote this, and I thought, man, does this ever fit the current situation with his? And I'll quote him. As democracy is perfected, the office of president represents more and more closely the inner soul of the people. On some great and glorious day, the plain folks of the land will reach their heart's desire at last, and the White House will be adorned by a downright moron. I think that's pretty prophetic, don't you think? I think we've reached that level right now. And I'm not going to apologize for saying that. That's what I think about Mr. Bush. Oh, yes, he's a wily creature, he is. He's politically astute. He knows that the more he listened to Mr. Rove and Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney, the better he'll do. He was smart enough to know that. He's a politician, all right. I don't want to take that away from him, but I find it interesting, don't you, that the polls taken from around the world show that 88% to 90% of the people around the world don't think he's capable of running a country like the United States, and yet 50% of the people in America do. What does that tell you? I'm not real proud of that fact. Are you? Certainly not. Well, we're going to stop for news at the top of the hour. You are listening to the Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. And you stay tuned. We'll take more of your calls and listen to more of what you have to say right after the news.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Fast action by the NBA after that brawl at Auburn Hills. I'm Joan Bennett. Indiana Pacers Ron Artest, Jermaine O'Neal, and Steven Jackson have been suspended indefinitely by the league, along with Detroit Pistons center Ben Wallace, after last night's melee that cleared the benches and spilled over into the stands in the final minute of the Indiana 97-82 win over Detroit.
The Pacers have all gone back in toward the locker room, and they're getting thrown a lot of debris.
Part of the action is heard on ESPN. At one point, Artest went after a fan who threw a drink at him. Wallace says that's going too far.
You don't go in the stands and attack no fan, especially when you got 15 other guys standing right there who are ready to fight.
Detroit police also investigating. President Bush discussing trade and nuclear threats with the leaders of Pacific Rim nations in Chile for their annual summit. On the sidelines, Mr. Bush held a round of meetings to talk about Iran and North Korean nuclear programs. The president said they made some progress.
And I can report to you today, having visited with the other nations involved in that collaborative effort, that the will is strong, that the effort is united, and the message is clear to Mr. Kim Jong-il. Get rid of your nuclear weapons programs.
National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice recuperating at home after undergoing surgery to remove non-cancerous growths in her uterus. She's expected to be back at work on Monday. International Red Cross says it's deeply concerned about the killings of civilians in Iraq and the failure of all sides to respect human rights.
We have come out very strongly this time because after a few days of fighting in Fallujah, we find out that there have been serious violations of basic principles of humanity on both sides of the warring factions.
Roland Hugin and Benjamin with the Red Cross. Baghdad exploding in violence again today. A U.S. patrol was attacked. One soldier killed. This is ABC News.
Cleaning, chopping, slicing, dicing, decorating, wrapping, mixing, roasting, baking, frosting, setting the table, greeting, carving, serving, stuffing, clearing the table. After all that hustle and bustle, slow down with friends and family around the holiday table this year. Serve them warm, nutty Maxwell House hazelnut or bold Maxwell House French roast, both special enough to make wonderful moments with loved ones last. Try Maxwell House hazelnut and Maxwell House French roast with the exclusive fresh seal. Two great ways to make this holiday season good to the last drop.
The makers of Children's Tylenol Plus Cold want to send you and your family to the Big Apple for the holidays. Log on to abcradio.com for details on the Winter Wonderland sweepstakes. We'll send one family of four to New York City to see the Radio City Christmas Spectacular at Radio City now through January 2nd. We'll include a backstage tour and a dance lesson for mom with one of the Rockettes. Log on to abcradio.com for official rules and you might just win the ultimate holiday present. No purchase necessary. Thanks to the makers of Children's Tylenol Plus Cold in daytime and nighttime formulas. Relieve your child's cold for either day or night.
Influenza. It can be a serious disease, especially if you're at high risk.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic medical condition, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're pregnant during influenza season, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with anyone in these high-risk groups, yes. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. Some people don't think influenza is serious, but they're wrong. Dead wrong. This year's influenza virus will kill as many as 36,000 people. Influenza is that serious. We are too.
Are you talking to me?
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 Yes, we're talking to you.
Influenza vaccine is available in a variety of places. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station.
Dear Beth, I have so much to say to you, and this seems the only way to do it. Maybe you can check your email from heaven. You probably don't remember me, but my name is Stacy. I was behind you the other night, and I stopped when I saw the smoke. At first I couldn't move, but then I found a strength I didn't know I had. I reached into the broken window, touched your wrist, and found a faint pulse. You weren't breathing. As I touched your neck, your head moved and you gasped softly for air. Thank God, I thought. She's alive. There's a chance. I was holding her head in my hands and softly stroking her hair, and had a million things spinning in my head. God, she's just a young girl, I thought. You opened your eyes for merely moments. I'm here with you. I'm not leaving you. Help is on the way. Then your eyes closed. Come on, fight, I said. And I knew you were trying.
But Beth Hoimy did not survive her encounter with a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, oh! There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Howdy, Mr. Wildfire. What can I get you today?
Well, I'll have a toasted woodshed shingle sandwich, the backyard dry brush salad, and an old gazebo sundae sprinkled with precious photos and family heirlooms.
Anything to drink, sweet pea?
Yeah. Carelessly stored pink dinner.
Knowing what Wildfire likes to eat is half the battle. Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James here with you. So happy to have you along with us this afternoon. We've got so much to cover in this last, 2 hours left in the program. You know, this is hard for me today. I'm a big college football fan, and my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes are playing those Michigan Wolverines today. And so far, the Buckeyes are ahead, doing a good job. I thought we'd might get dusted off a little bit today, but so far the Buckeyes are doing good. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. But I digress. Yeah. Hey, what a week. You know, I started off the program talking about what a week it was. It truly was a week to remember. And when I look back upon this past week, I really want to let out a scream. You know, it's more than a little frustrating to look upon the events of this week and then come to the realization that the American people have been screwed over like never before. And yet, the majority of them are saying, I like it, give me some more. I mean, that's exactly what they're saying. First, we have Condi Rice appointed as Secretary of State, probably the most incompetent Secretary of State in memory. She and her staff completely overlooked a mountain of warnings that 9/11 was going to happen. Then she goes in front of the 9/11 Commission and plays stupid about it, or she was outright lying. Take your pick. Either way, she should have been fired right on the spot. And then after 9/11... she helps Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush and the gang fabricate evidence against Iraq when she knows damn well the evidence is full of holes, and she still kept her job. Not only that, but now she gets promoted. Can you say Peter Principal, anyone? Of course. And, you know, to make matters even worse, her assistant, who was equally guilty in the 9/11 debacle, he gets promoted also. But he's a good Bush lackey. And so is she. You know, and of course, we can't forget that this week Colin Powell is now claiming Iran has nukes and delivery systems at the ready. Can you say wolf, Mr. Powell? And then we've got Rod Page, the Secretary of Education, resigns, and Bush puts a White House crony in his place, a woman that has admittedly no experience whatsoever in running a large department of any kind, and she's the one who needs the education. And then later on, we've got Republican House members voting to suspend their own rule that a sitting House member must be suspended when under indictment. That's fair enough, isn't it? You're indicted for a felony. Maybe you should just maybe sit quietly on the sidelines until the matter gets cleared up. But no, this is Tom DeLay we're talking about here. Tom DeLay, the sleazebag of American politics. The Republican moral values group leader, who's already been censured for his role in the Republican money laundering deal in Texas. Good old, honest Tom DeLay. Aren't you folks really happy to have him in your party? Doesn't he make you proud? You know, he's a symbol of all that is moral and righteous in the Republican Party, and he's probably going to be indicted for his role in that Republican strong-arm redistricting fiasco in the good old red state of Texas. They say they had a voice vote on that. All you Republicans, do me a favor on this, would you? Would you please indulge me a little bit, and my Republican friends, do me just one favor. Try calling your Republican congressman and asking him or her how they voted on the delay matter. Let me know if you get an answer. You see, they had a voice vote. And from what I hear, many, if not most, of the Democratic congressmen walked off of the House floor before the voice vote, so they didn't have to be accounted for. And so many of them, when you call them, they're going, oh, well, we don't know anything. Yeah. And then we get the news that Porter Goss, another righteous Republican who swore before his Senate hearing just a few weeks ago that he would remain nonpartisan at the CIA, good old Porter Goss is conducting a political witch hunt in the halls of the CIA, and according to my sources, he has been ordered by the White House to purge the CIA of anyone suspected of leaking the truth to the press about the Iraq war lies that the White House manufactured early on. Another fine example of fine Republican moral values, don't you think? And as if that weren't enough, we've got this spectacle of two lobbyists. Now, those of you who don't know this about this story, pay attention to this and look up the rest of it. I don't have time to do the whole thing for you today, but we got these two lobbyists connected to Tom DeLay, of course. Who else? Who skinned a few Indian tribes out of over $60 million. Yep, that's right. They stole $60 million from some tribes in Texas and Louisiana and Alabama. On the one hand, let me see if I can explain this right. They were working with fine, upstanding Republicans like Ralph Reed. Ralph Reed of the Christian Coalition, the righteous moral leader of the Republicans that ran the Bush campaign in the South, the exalted and holy Ralph Reed. So the lobbyists get a hold of Ralph Reed, formerly of the Christian Coalition, you know, and he's that's a fine, upstanding Republican group. And they had a few Republican congressmen working with them as well. And anyway, it seems that the Louisiana casino proprietors didn't like the fact that the Texas Indian tribes were taking away some of their business. So they hired this Republican thug lobbyist named Jack Abramoff and his partner in crime, Michael Scanlon. They hired them to shut down the Texas Indian casinos. Now, that's not so bad, I don't think. A little competition going on there. And after all, Ralphie Reed and his people, they have righteous indignation against gambling, so it was okay to hire him, right? Sure. So that's not the end of the story. It seems that Mr. Abramoff and Mr. Scanlon wanted a few extra bucks, so they went to the Indians and promised them that they would lobby for them to keep the casinos open, the ones in Texas, for a small fee. So I see you got the one on the one hand, they're lobbying and working hard with Ralph Reed and everybody behind the scenes, lobbying congressmen all to get those casinos closed down. And on the other hand, unbeknownst to the Louisiana and Alabama Indians, they go over to the Texas tribes and say, hey, you know, give us a few bucks here and we'll keep this thing open for you. So they're going to get a small fee from the Texas Indian tribe. You follow me so far? On the one hand, they're being paid to close down the casinos, and on the other hand, they're being paid by the people that own them to keep them open. And between the two opposing factions, these moral Republicans, with the help of Mr. Moral himself, Ralph Reed, a very righteous Republican, very moral, you know. These folks scammed nearly $60 million out of the Indian tribes. It was more than a little funny to see them testifying before a Congressional House committee this week with Mr. Ben Nighthorse Campbell, a very righteous moral Republican, having to sit there and bite his lip. You know, I think he's full-blooded American Indian, turned Republican a few years back. But there he is. Everybody in the committee is excoriating to these two lousy, despicable thieves for scamming this money. And by the way, they answered every question with the Fifth Amendment. So Ben Nighthorse Campbell sits there and doesn't open his mouth. He couldn't say too much to a couple fellow moral Republicans, now could he? You know, can you say cesspool? So all of my Republican friends, I want to remind you that all of what I just mentioned is what you voted for. Yes, sir. Good old-fashioned moral values. This is what you put your stamp of approval on. These righteous moral Republicans are lying, cheating, stealing, and just generally having their way with the American public. And you said, fine, I approve of it. Please give me some more. Let me vote for George Bush, Mr. Moral. And here's the good news for my listeners. You won't have to depend upon Limbaugh and Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Tammy Bruce and Lars Larson and Mike Savage and the rest of the legions of moral Republican radio hosts to bring you the news about these scams. You can get the plain old unvarnished truth right here each and every week. Now, doesn't that make you feel better? Of course it does. And I feel good knowing that these people, these righteous people, are running America. I've never felt so safe and so, just so generally warm and fuzzy, because we've got these moral Christians running the country for us. Makes me just feel good all over. Don't you feel that way too? 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, 479-5540 here locally. Hope you give us a call. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
Boy, you're smoking today. I'm enjoying it.
Well, I tell you, Bill, Bill, I got to admit something. I was up almost all night last night.
Yeah.
I watched several news programs last night and all, and after it was all over, it hit me about this absolute cloud of crap that the Republicans dumped on us last week with one immoral thing after another.
Right.
And yet, they're the moral people.
Well, I can almost hear the conservatives, and I wish they would call in. They want you to be quiet. They want to pull your plug. They would like to put you in jail, but they're saying, why don't you stop whining? Your ideas are dinosaurs, and there's not going to be any bad consequences. And if only that were true, if there weren't going to be any bad consequences from an administration that doesn't care about evidence, doesn't care about facts, only the will of the president. It's driving us right into the ground. And if only there weren't going to be any consequences.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the sick part of it is we're going to be dragged down with them. I don't care if they voted themselves, all these things, but, Jesus, leave us alone.
Right. And just as an example that the wheels are coming off the system, just look at how the Canadian administrators of prescription drugs look out for the Canadians, keep the price down, and keep it safe. Now look at our system. We've got Vioxx out there that nobody in the FDA knew was dangerous, and now it's going to be pulled off the market. And how much money did the Republicans use trying to find anything from Canada that was unsafe, and they never found anything, and now all the unsafe stuff is in our system.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, Bill, I was shocked. I didn't know the numbers until just a couple of days ago. Now they say thousands of people might have died because of that.
Well, I'd like to make a little prediction. I think that there's going to be a congressional law passed that any drug that's passed by the FDA cannot be taken to court, and they'll protect the pharmaceuticals even if it kills all of us, because they've already thrown in with the big money, the pharmaceuticals, to protect their profits any way they can, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they, this will hurt the trial lawyers, which are all great for that, and it would be illegal for anybody to litigate a bad drug, because Congress is going to protect their people.
Well, you know, Bill, those trial lawyers are really bad people.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hey, like anybody else, they've got some scoundrels in their ranks, and everybody does. But without the trial lawyers defending plain old Joe American against some of these...
We'd be hurting. And I want you to know, which you probably already do know, that our Southwest Florida freshman congressman, Connie Mack, is in full support of Tom DeLay. And he doesn't see anything wrong with changes the rules to protect Tom DeLay. And I wish he'd come on your show as a guest, which is not going to happen. But I'll please invite him to please explain how that could be possible.
Bill, I was sorry to hear that and sorry to see that. I was willing to give this guy a chance. I mean, I didn't want him as our congressman, but he's our congressman. And I thought, well, let's give him a shot. But when I heard that he's protecting the bug man already, Tom DeLay, I was sick at heart.
The whole reason to protect him is they don't want local government interfering with federal government, and the whole problem is that Tom DeLay can't keep his hands off local government. The Republicans are supposed to support local government. They don't now. And when Tom DeLay comes in, and in Texas, if you run for a state office, you are not allowed to use money from outside of Texas. That's kind of an odd law they have, but only the Texans can vote for it. That's the law. Tom DeLay pumped all that money in from all these corporations. He got caught. He's going to be indicted, and he should step down. But the Republicans, in fact, I'm glad they are protecting him because the Republicans are showing their true colors that they would protect a rat like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely they are.
And I want to give you the lie of the week. It came from the Reverend Falwell this week.
Oh, boy.
He was on C-SPAN.
He's my favorite guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's really a defender of the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments doesn't care if you give false witness or not.
No.
But he said that Senator John Kerry was quoted as saying he would never support a pro-life judge. That was a blatant lie. There's nobody, no matter how liberal they are in the Senate, that would openly, as soon as they found out you were pro-life, vote against you. They voted for him all the time. They're just not going to vote for the Jerry Falwells and the Pat Robertsons, the zealots that are going to put us back in the Middle Ages. But they voted for a lot of pro-life judges. And once again, Jerry Falwell, you are a liar.
Well, he absolutely is. He's proven it over and over and over again. And why thousands upon thousands of people follow that man, well.
And you talk about your Pharisees. Dr. Dobson, did you see him on
ABC?
Oh,
man. Oh, man.
You know, here we have George Stephanopoulos is the son of an Orthodox priest. And Dobson says, who are you to question my Christianity? Apparently, the fundamentalists don't even recognize the Orthodox Church.
The original Christian church, I might add.
Right, and the Diane got it right. They're just a bunch of modern day Pharisees, somebody would just switch a searchlight on them and see what kind of rats he's.
Someone do a Google. I should have done this a long time ago myself, but somebody listening, or maybe Bill, maybe you know, I found that comment to Stephanopoulos very strange because, as you mentioned, George Stephanopoulos' father was an Orthodox priest. The priests are allowed to marry in the Orthodox
right.
Church. But I am not sure that Dobson is an ordained minister.
Oh, I don't know. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he is. Somebody let me know if it's a...
But, you know, when he comes out with a statement of, these people will do what we want, or we'll get even with them, well,
right.
That really makes me want to go to a Christian church.
Yes, sir. That scares me. Hey,
well,
Bill.
Thanks so much, Guy. And we need your leadership when times are good, and we really need it now, so keep it going.
Thanks for your call. Alright, let's see. I got a little promo I want to do here, if I can find it. Might have to do it in a little while later until I haven't found it right now. Well, anyway, I'll get to it. We're having a little soiree coming up, the 29th. And I'll find my notes on it, and we'll talk about it in just a little while. But a wonderful little project coming up here, the 29th, that's going to be held down at the Broadway Palm Theater. And it is by local Democrats in honor of Will Prather and Alice McBrayer for all they have done for the Democratic Party this year. And I cannot find my notes at the minute, so I'll get back to that in just a minute. But I do want to tell you all about it in a little while. And I also want to let all of our listeners know that we have a segment of Republican love coming up in a little while. That's right. Some very interesting Republican love. And got some decent emails. I think they calmed down a little bit, so I can actually read a few of them on the air. But I got a couple of really good ones that I know you're going to enjoy. So look forward to that sometime before the end of the show today. We're going to have a few minutes of Republican love. Yes, indeed. Don't we love that? Always you can feel the love from the Republicans. But, you know, it is so interesting this week. You know, when you stop and think about it, think about it for a minute. Let me get this straight. The Republicans are now championing moral values, right? I mean, that's what they're saying. And many are saying that's why so many of them went to polls to vote for Junior Bush, to protect the moral values of this country against the gays and the lesbians and the abortionists and the Democrats and anyone else who doesn't fall in line with what the evangelical Christian movement, a la Jerry Falwell, my hero, believes. That's good old-fashioned moral values, all right. So with that in mind, we're all expecting the Republican Congress to be a tower of virtue because, after all, it is they who set the example for the rest of us. It is they who, by watching over America, will protect us all from those nasty, immoral people, right? I'm sure we can trust the Republican Congress to do the right thing when it comes to policing themselves, can't we? After all, they need to set an example of good moral values for the rest of us, mustn't they? Think about this for a minute. These are the guys that are standing on moral values. And then I suppose changing the rules so Tom DeLay can keep his job as majority leader must be a very moral thing to do. That's the example they're showing America. You can lie, cheat, and steal, and it's okay, because we're righteous Republicans. After all, you know, the Republicans being the purveyors of righteousness, they certainly wouldn't do anything unethical, would they? Of course not. That's why I'm telling all my Democratic friends, and I want you to all listen to that now, all my Democratic friends, lay off Mr. DeLay in the Republican Congress, because the Republicans say they're far more moral than we are. So what they're doing concerning changing the rules to allow Mr. DeLay to keep his job must be a moral and ethical decision. And we others who don't qualify as moral in their eyes must be dead wrong on this. After all, they're the moral majority, aren't they? And we are the minority. Think about that. You know, Mr. Falwell might have something there. Oh, man. Let's go. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here in Lee County. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
You know, I'm listening to you, and I was about to say a whole bunch of things, but then as you said, your last lines, the thought just went through my mind. How do we define moral values? What do we mean by it?
Oh, I don't know. The good old-fashioned rule will do for me. The golden rule will do for me.
Well, I mean, this is so bandied about. I mean, this whole issue of morality, I mean, whose morality? What morality? I mean, if it's moral that it's to take what you're just saying, I have no problem with it. If it is, we've got to do everything by certain biblical tenets and follow our religious views and give you no choice, I do have a problem. And if it's doing away with some of the aspects of the Constitution. I called last week because it's still an issue out here. If you read the letters to the paper, you know, do we believe that the First Amendment says what it says regarding separation of church of state? Does it not exist?
Right.
Do we believe in the First Amendment to the Constitution, which says there should be a freedom of speech? Or are we going to have just right-wing radio and allow nobody else really a view on our radio stations? I mean, I have a local problem here in this, you know, if I can discuss locally what's happening here, is that okay or no?
You've got freedom of speech on this program, my friend.
All right, what bothers me, and we brought it up before, when you have to plea for, because you're paying for your time on this radio station, and the ownership of the management of this station owns two talk stations. They have one very limited show in the morning, which tries to give a little bit of both views, but it's trying to do everything in the world but talk radio, because they do news, they do sports, they do weather, they take a few calls. And then the rest of the day on both radio stations, so that's two stations, other than your show, is all paid, syndicated, right-wing people. You know, people like Limbaugh, Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and a bunch of others. There is no diversity. They've done away with a local forum. They don't let people like my... When they did have it, people like myself were limited to calling once a week. They didn't want a diverse point of view. Any local forum with a freedom which, you know, used to exist in this community, it simply doesn't exist. And yet I was under the understanding that stations had to have a responsibility to the community because they owned a license to the airwaves. And I think this is part of the problem. There really is no diversity. If you have a Laura Ingraham preaching to the public, a Sean Hannity, and every time I tune in him, I get a feeling of pure hatred.
Oh, I think old Sean would look real good in one of those black uniforms. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's you just said something which I hesitated to say.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of the Nazi propaganda during World War II. You know, I mean, it's just hatred, the name-calling that goes on.
Did you notice the very day after the election went over, he started in on Hillary?
I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
And there's no opportunity for people like myself, you know, just average Joe Blow citizen, Joe Lunchbucket, so to speak, to call up and give a counterpoint of view.
That's right. Very little.
And,
very little.
You know, are we moving, and I think the question I would have under this, are we moving to a form of fascism in this country?
Well, I think ever so slowly, and lately it's been speeded up a little bit, ever so slowly we are headed there.
You know, I mean, we wave the flag, talk about patriotism, talk about supporting the troops. And by the way, one of the questions I have, and I'm going to throw to you, and again, it's a question. Why is, used to be that we have daily a count of the American troops that are being killed. Now I understand it's over 1,200. But that count is, you know, kept very secret. Why don't we know how many people we're losing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
You know, we're told we're being successful. But every day you hear, I mean, at the top of your news broadcast, every day is one more problem after another in Iraq. How can you get local government coming in, people supporting, when you have one atrocity after another in Iraq?
Well, you know, it's being pushed farther and farther and farther back off the burner. Now we're talking about Iran. It does appear, don't you think, John? It does appear that they're pretty anxious to get in there, too.
Well, I'm going to tell you, how many people, how many Americans lives are we going to lose?
Whatever's necessary.
And are we going to be successful? You know, one of the things about a militaristic government is it's not always successful.
That's right.
And yep. I don't think we've been successful in Iraq. I mean, I can't see, you know, the one thing about the Bush regime, as you're talking, is they have the power, but what are they going to accomplish with this power, either domestically, which, you know, seems to be a disaster, or on a foreign picture? I mean, you mentioned Condoleezza Rice. She certainly is not a heavyweight. She certainly is not respected.
No.
We're not respected over there. How far down is this country going to go in this jingoistic type of approach before we have disaster?
Well, John, we're going to find out. We're going to find out in the next 4 years. We're going to find out just how low we can sink, because Bush will take us ever lower. I'm convinced of that. John, thanks for your call.
By the way, can I just add one thing?
Certainly.
I think Kerry is right, and I think you're on the right track, and I think we have to think about it. How do we maintain, and I think you're on the right track.
Thank you, John.
I'm not criticizing. But how do we maintain a really organized opposition and keep our voices alive and not be drowned out in the name of patriotism?
Yeah, point well made.
I don't have any answers, Guy, and I'd love to have you address this and other people address this, because I'm frightened for the future of this country and this world.
I am too. John, thank you
for the time, sir.
I'm frightened, too, and it is our job, and it is my job, and it is your job, all of you that are liberal Democrats along with me, even those of you that are Republicans that don't go along with this Bush administration. It is our job to dig our heels in now and oppose everything that we think he's doing wrong. We are not being true to our country if we sit back right now and say, throw up our hands and say, oh, to hell with it, I can't do anything because we got beat in the election and Bush and the Republicans are... No, sir. We are the loyal opposition and we need to act like it. We need to act like it and we need to do it now. There's no time like right now. You know, I'm not blaming Junior Bush for this latest election disaster. It wasn't his fault. You know, he might well be the worst president we've ever had, certainly the most ignorant. But he is not responsible for this latest Democratic presidential defeat. And one thing all of we Democrats have to keep in mind, that it was the Republican voters who did this. And despite the flaming, hateful email I've been getting, I'm still going to blame them of being downright ignorant and stupid insofar as it goes with voting for this president. I mean really stupid, for allowing themselves to be used by Karl Rove and his gang. You know, think back on the daily video you saw during the election. How many times did Bush stand at the podium? Think about this for a minute. Stay with me. How many times did Bush walk out to the podium, you know, almost drooling with that stupid grin of his, and say, he can run, but he can't hide, in reference to Kerry. How many times did you hear that? Carl Rove just wound him up and pushed him out on the stage, and he went out and repeated the phrases, and the idiots in the crowd did, that's right, Georgie, you tell them. All right, how about the more liberal than the senior senator from Massachusetts line? You know, give him that line and stand there and watch him go nuts. Tell him Kerry flip-flops. They'll love that one, Georgie. Think back over what you've seen. Now, don't accuse me and other Democrats of bringing up the fact that the majority of Republican voters were stupid. Karl Rove and his gang are the ones who discovered the stupidity, and they played it like a fiddle. They are the ones who sent their candidate out in the stump with idiot phrases like I just mentioned, because they know what they're dealing with, and we know it ain't Albert Einstein, don't we? Discuss the issues. Talk about unemployed Americans, jobs being shipped overseas at an alarming rate. No insurance for 45 million Americans. A war started on a lie. What else? Veterans returning from Iraq who can't even get decent medical care. Why talk about issues when all you have to do is step up to the mic and say stupid, empty phrases? Can't you hear it now? Can't you hear it? Karl Rove, tell them, just do it, Mr. President. They're a bunch of fools. And they'll go crazy if you tell them you're going to give them all a can of spam. That's how stupid they are. It's all they understand, Mr. Bush. They can't help it. It drives me nuts. How many times have you heard him say that Bush is a guy that they'd like to have a beer with? You know, that proves they're not exactly a bunch of Rhodes Scholars. They want a president who's just as dumb as they are. So don't worry, Mr. President. They'll lap up every drop of stupid rhetoric you can throw at them. After all, they're mostly, not all, but mostly a bunch of redneck, Bible-thumping, beer-chugging, Confederate flag-waving, inbred fools. And they like you, Mr. President. They really like you. I have never witnessed such profound ignorance and stupidity in my life as during this last election. That's why I'm resolved to continue on this show, to point out the error in their ways, no matter what it takes. I'm not going to fall in line. I will not. Absolutely will not. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Let's go to Alice in Humboldt. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Glad to have you along with us.
I'm a 90-year-old retired nurse.
Oh.
And I've gone through a lot of elections, you know.
I'll bet you have.
The last two are terrible.
Yep.
And the election was a fraud. They know how to go in to the voting machines and change votes.
I'm absolutely convinced of it, Alice. I am.
Pardon?
I'm convinced of that. I really am. The problem is, how do we catch it? How do we find out the truth? You know, we need to have some kind of a congressional hearing over. You know, you've heard the voter fraud stories the same as I have. It's terrible the way this election went.
Oh, but yeah.
Nobody cares. Alice, how far back do you remember being 90, my dear? How far back do you remember presidential elections?
Well, let's see. I was born in 14. And, of course, I went through the Depression, so, you know, but that was...
So your first time you could vote was for Franklin Roosevelt in 36.
Yeah.
And did you vote for Franklin Roosevelt in 36?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And in 40 and 44?
Yeah.
How about Harry Truman?
Oh, I like him.
Oh, yeah. Harry Truman's a real man. I, you know, I wish John Kerry had a little more Harry Truman in, a little more fighting spirit.
Yeah, he needed that.
Yeah, he needed to come out and tell him what's what a couple of times, isn't it, you know. John Kennedy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, you've been right there for the Democrats all along, haven't you? Yeah, I did, too. I loved the man.
I liked Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I really liked Clinton.
Well, you've seen a lot happen.
I like Hillary.
Oh, me too.
And I hope they're cheating me, our first lady president.
I hope so, too.
I won't be around to see it.
Oh, don't. Why would you say that? You've 90 years and going strong. Your voice. Yeah, well, I hope you do get to see it. I hope we all get to see it. And if she decides she wants to go for it, I'll tell you one thing. I'm in her corner. I've already told her that. I met her in Washington a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I have, too. She sent me a beautiful picture of herself.
Oh, wonderful.
And I have it right out in my living room. I love it.
Well, they can throw their hatred at Hillary Clinton all they want to, but she is a very gracious and warm lady. Very gracious. Alice, thank you for your call.
Well, thank you for listening to me.
Wonderful to hear from you.
Okay.
I think we're going to pause for a break. But before I do, let me finally find my notes. We've got this deal going on the 29th. Now, all my Democratic friends, listen here. Lee and Collier County Democrats have a lot to be proud of. Yes, I know, we didn't win the elections we wanted to win. But Lee and Collier County Democrats here in our listing area have an awful lot to be proud of. Far exceeded national averages in getting out the vote and upping the percentage of our vote. I'm so proud of what the local clubs did here. And the Lee County folks are going to do something about it. They've got a program called Jump for Joy. It's coming up on the 29th. I believe that's a Monday evening at 6 p.m. And they're going to honor Mr. Will Prather and Alice McBrayer for all they have done. There's so many people that could be honored, but these two are stellar Democrats, and they're going to honor them that night. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful get-together. You know, it's the heart and spirit of the Democratic Party locally here that we're celebrating, because the Democratic Party here came alive as never before. And each Democratic local Democratic club president will say a few words at the program that night. There's going to be a wonderful buffet dinner. That's going to be at the Palm Dinner Club over on Colonial. Yes, on Colonial. That's where it is. I didn't write that down. But it's going to be a wonderful get-together. Social hour at 6 o'clock. Dinner hour at 7. Call Randy Ross for tickets. They're $25. It's a 656-6956. 656-6956. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. Do the local Democratic Party and Will and Alice a favor. Get yourself a couple of tickets to that and go to it. It's going to be a wonderful evening. Yours truly is going to be the MC of the thing. And I promise you, it's going to be an exciting, wonderful night for Democrats. It's going to be a positive theme with all of us getting together and really enjoying ourselves. I'm looking forward to it, and you should too. Again, call Randy Ross at 656-6956 to get your tickets for that. It's going to be a good time had by all. I will guarantee you that. We're going to pause for a break right now, and when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the subject that somebody touched on a few minutes ago, talking about the lies coming from the right-wing media. We'll be back right after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Yes, it should, bud. Oh, there's the bell.
Oh, Wildfire just charged out of that corner like a wildfire.
Yeah, but it can't seem to get anywhere near House.
That's because House is landscaped with water-retaining plants, which help keep Wildfire at a safe distance.
And, bud, check out how Wildfire's punches seem to roll off that treated shingle roof.
Holy smokes, Lou! Wildfire is wearing out like a cheap suit. Oh, Wildfire is down!
Down and out.
Can your house win a fight with wildfire? Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Close your eyes in Chicago, and you can hear the sound of zebra braying in Africa. Look hard out your window in D.C., and you can see the snow-covered peaks of the Andes. The world is that small. We are that connected. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together. Earthshare. One environment. One simple way to care for it all. A public service message from Earthshare and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Sam Waterston. More than 6 million Americans are losing their sight to blinding diseases such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. But there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find treatments and cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research, or to find out how you can help, call the Foundation at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be in a great mood the rest of this day. My beloved Ohio State Buckeyes defeated our arch rivals, the Michigan Wolverines. I believe the score is 37-21. And those of you that are college football fans, you know I'm a real Buckeye fan, have been my all my life. I'm a born and bred Buckeye, so living in Florida now. But that game is special, and it's one of those games between two teams that it doesn't matter how you did the rest of the season. You could be 0-10 and win that game, and your season's okay. And so despite a lackluster season for the Buckeyes, I'm feeling okay now. Really good. Wow. I'm happy about that. I figured we'd get beat today. Really thought so. Hey, and I do want to pass along, Corey Stone on Democratic Underground has sent me some information. I asked earlier if James Dobson was a minister for all you righteous moral Republicans, and it turns out he is not. I bet a lot of you didn't know that. Did you know that Mr. So for him to... To him to talk down to George Stephanopoulos, how dare you question my, you know, integrity talking about religion, someone like you, why, you know, that's the way they are. Hey, you know, someone brought up something a little bit ago about the proliferation of right-wing media in this country and the terrible deficiency we have in left-wing as far as time. You know, we're getting beat to death on the air, and the Democrats, in my opinion, better get really serious about it in the next 2 years, the next 4 years. They better do something about it. They've talked about it a lot, but haven't done nearly enough. But, you know, it's propaganda. It's propaganda what goes on in the right-wing airways. And day after day after day by millions of listeners, when they hear lies over and over and over again, it's no wonder that they go to the polls ignorant of what the truth is. It's no wonder the way they get force-fed this stuff over and over and over again. And so I compiled three examples of this that I want you to hear about. Three examples of the outright lies, and after people hear these shows, they go around and tell all their friends is gospel what they heard, when it's nothing more than an outright lie. Let's start off with Joe Scarborough's show, okay?
Hey, welcome to our show. Well, you know, they met for one last time. A battle-weary group of vets celebrating victory in a battle they've been fighting for 30 years. It's time for tonight's Real Deal. The Wall Street Journal reported this morning that the Swift Vets for Truth met one final time this weekend to proclaim victory over a foe who had haunted them for three decades. The enemy? Certainly not John Kerry by himself, but rather an entire protest movement that always struck them and most of us in the red states as more anti-American than anti-war. Now, these Swift Vets, who elitists so randomly passed off as lying right-wing cranks and Texas tools of the Bush attack machine, were themselves bona fide American heroes.
Well, there you go. There's propaganda of the highest order right there.
And,
well, let's go
I
on
I think
with Mike
there should
Savage.
Be no mercy shown to these subhumans. I believe that 1,000 of them should be killed tomorrow. I think 1,000 of them held in the Iraqi prison should be given a 24-hour trial and executed. I think they need to be shown that we are not going to roll over to them. It won't happen. It won't happen because of the CBS communists. It won't happen because of the CNN traitors. It won't happen because of the MSNBC empty heads. And we, the people, are the ones who are going to suffer today.
No, Mikey, you're wrong. The people are suffering because of idiots like you on the air, and idiots like Joe Scarborough and Sean Hannity and Limbaugh and so forth. First of all, starting off with that little clip there we had from the Joe Scarborough, lionizing the Swift Boat liars. over and over and over again in major newspapers and on TV over the airways. These guys have been proven to be outright liars. Stretch the truth to fit their agenda, and make no mistake about it, their agenda was to cut down John Kerry no matter what they had to do, and they had the blessing, and they had the help of the White House. You know it, I know it. It was despicable. And, you know, Buchanan on the show that night, on the Scarborough show, said the Swift Boat Veterans began not with millions of dollars, but a couple hundred thousand, and with us, you and I and a few others running these ads on our own show, arguing it, debating it, with Kerry sitting over there refusing to answer as this thing percolated up from the bottom all the way to where the big media had to cover it. Well, that's an outright lie. Kerry didn't refuse it at all. Most of the testimony of those people was absolutely discredited. John Fund was on that show tonight, saying 60% of the people who served on Swift Boats in Vietnam signed up with the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. An absolute outright lie. And then we get Mr. Mikey Savage on there talking about CNN and CBS being communist. And where does he get off calling the CBS people communist? I mean, the guy's nuts. Michael Savage is nuts. And I might also say that any of you that go along with Mikey Savage's agenda, you're just as crazy as he is. I don't care if you like it or not. That's the truth. If you listen to someone like Mike Savage, if you can listen to actually what Mike Savage showed out to be, it ought to be proclaimed as some kind of a tongue-in-cheek comedy show. Because the guy is so bizarre, so weird, so crazy, it is kind of funny. And I want to play you one last thing here. This is from Dear Roger Hedgecock that fills in for the drug junkie Limbaugh. I want you to hear this one.
He was the one who coined the phrase baby killers. That's the phrase returning veterans from Vietnam had to hear, including Max Cleland, when they came home, when they were spit on in the airports. I remember this stuff. When they were called baby killers.
I want to personally thank...
Well, Roger, I'm sorry, but you are a fool and a liar. John Kerry did not coin the phrase baby killers. Absolutely not. That's the phrase returning veterans from Vietnam had to hear, he says, including Max Cleland, when they came home and when they were spit on in airports. He said, I remember this stuff when they were called baby killers. It was John Kerry's testimony that first brought up that phrase. In fact, I think we have that phrase somewhere in the testimony. He goes on to, John Kerry didn't coin that. Not at all. In another huge lie that was spread all over the media, and repeated over and over and over again, John Kerry repeated what he heard at a Vietnam veterans meeting. He didn't coin that phrase, and everybody in the right-wing media knows it. But tell the truth? Ha, are you kidding? Not about to tell the truth about anything. That's how morally bankrupt these people are. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570 if you live in Collier County. What do you think about what it all went on this week in the Republican Moral Party? What do you think about the Tom DeLay issue? What do you think about these two Republican lobbyists hooked up to Tom DeLay and Ralph Reed skinning the Indian tribes for $60 million? What do you think about Bush solidifying his power by putting cronies in every position? You know, this is scary, folks. This is scary. He's not looking to mend any fences. He's got no intention of mending any fences. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done what he's done with all these political appointments. No, he's going to have people very close to him in all the positions so that he can keep absolute track of them and keep everybody under his thumb, or should I say under Karl Rove's thumb or Dick Cheney's thumb. Certainly Bush isn't running the show. I think we know that. How could we think otherwise? I don't know. It bothers me tremendously. I do want to remind everybody that coming up after the top of the hour, we are going to have a few minutes of Republican love. Absolutely a few minutes of Republican love. And
I heard this week from some of the fundies that we're always talking about the Christian Coalition people and the Ralph Reed type people, and my God, they scare me. They do scare me. You start hearing some of the things they're preaching right now about how all the Democrats need to fall in line and submit to their will. Oh yeah, we'll do that all right. We'll submit to your will. We'll submit to the crazies running Washington right now. My oh my. Hey, let's take a trip out to California and visit with Dave. Dave, are you with us? I guess not. Oh yeah. Hi, Dave.
Hey, did it happen that fast?
Yeah.
Wow, you know, I am very unhappy with the way the media has been handling some of these things. You know, Bev Havers literally walked in and caused them attempting to defraud the recount, and I'm not hearing that. I hear it on talk radio. That's the hope for this country, is talk radio, in my opinion. Media does not want to risk taking on anything involving this administration.
No.
Papers, no. I think we've got to humiliate them for this. Make them feel like, you know, they are doing no service to the public. Nobody should even subscribe to it. Nobody should listen to them.
Well, you know, first we've got to get the media to cooperate with us at least a little bit. And here we have Bev Harris and Andy out doing yeoman's duty all around the country looking for voter fraud and so forth, and finding it, by the way. And yet, where has the mainstream media been on this? Nowhere.
She's walked right in with her own videos running to watch, to catch them pulling the hard drives out of the computers. They were trying to rig the recount.
And did you see the video where she interviewed the people at home, where the people went in, and the poll workers, and the election board officials said, well, here, at the precinct you're going to be with tomorrow, you go ahead and take the voting machines home with you, and then you can bring them in tomorrow. You know, with no supervision, here people had these voting machines in their homes. Instead of being locked up. I mean, it's crazy, some of the stuff that went on. And you know, Dave, and I know you've heard all the stories about the outright attempts in Ohio to suppress the vote in black communities and
they
so
did.
Forth.
They narrowed it down to one or two machines have lines around the block with people trying to go in there with their hope to try to save their country on a cheating voting machine. And DeLay and Hassert insisted that those machines be held as unverifiable.
Yeah, well,
proof. To me, that's conclusive evidence that they intended to do it, and they did it.
No logical thinking person could take a look at this election and think it was fair and just and all. I don't know how we're ever going to prove it. I just don't know, but there's so many issues involved in this election. I think far more than there were the last time.
It's illogical to elect a president who's done nothing but try to screw over the middle class. That is, I mean, that's us. It's just,
it certainly is us, and we've allowed this to happen. And of course, our moral majority people, and I hear that phrase coming back more and more and more again. they're more than willing to side with them and help out. It's a scary thing. It really is.
We've been really fortunate at times to have had some excellent presidents that cared about us. You had asked Alice there earlier about some of them, and they, and I think Kerry again, would have tried to do things to benefit us, the people. This group is strictly there to help the Halliburton Bechtel group, what was the cartel that started this whole thing at PNAC?
Oh, the Progress for New American Century
group,
yes.
That plan has been to rip off, to create a big mass of low-paid workers competing for jobs like Dickens Cratchit.
Sure.
With no benefits. And that would be wonderful, because then all these owner class, they can keep more profits if they don't have to pay union wages and things. And so,
absolutely right. Look at all they've done. They've let Walmart run wild in court cases all over the country. The federal judges have, and so forth. Walmart themselves, the biggest company in the world, is suppressing wages in this country, and they're running over employees with not answering to anybody. You know, and the Republican Congress is going right along with anything they want to do. Hey, we've got a pause for news at the top of our day.
I appreciate your efforts, Guy. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. We're going to have Republican Love shortly after the news at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Guy James Show, WPTK, Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida.
The Guy James Show. the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Security concerns on and off the basketball court. I'm Joan Bennett. More police will be on duty at tomorrow's Detroit Pistons game after last night's Pistons-Pacers game ended a few seconds early.
You have these ridiculous fans trying to go at the players and now throw them.
As fistfights broke out, bottles were thrown. At least one Indiana player, Ron Artest, jumped into the stands after a fan who threw something at him. The game carried on ESPN. Announcer Mike Breen says the fans at Auburn Hills were out of control.
Normally the phrase is, oh, there's only a couple that spoiled it. Well, there was more than a couple who not only were involved in the fight, but just hurling debris at point-blank range, things that could hurt if you threw from a distance. And then, you know, others who seemed to take glee in the fact that people were getting hurt.
Four players, Artest, Jermaine O'Neal, Stephen Jackson of the Pacers, and Ben Wallace of the Pistons, were suspended indefinitely while the league investigates the fight. A gathering of world leaders in Santiago, Chile. President Bush urged leaders at the Asia-Pacific Economic Conference to strengthen anti-terror efforts and support free trade.
Every nation represented here has a stake in this conflict. Terrorism is a threat not just to the West or to the wealthy, but to all of us.
Earlier, the president held one-on-one meetings aimed at garnering support to curb nuclear programs in Iran and North Korea.
On this vote, the yeas are 344, the noes are 51, with one member voting present.
Congress trying to pass long-delayed spending bills before calling it a session. The House today easily passed a $388 billion package to fund scaled-down government programs. That bill dropped language that would have challenged new Bush administration rules on overtime and travel to Cuba. Hotel workers in San Francisco heading back to work following an eight-week lockout. This is ABC News.
Holiday travel. There's no holiday. Some people take off Tuesday, but they have to work Friday. Others work Wednesday, but they must come home Sunday. But Priceline.com makes it easy. See, now you can choose your exact flights, times, and airlines from our long list of low fares. Actually shop and compare prices. Pick a flight that takes off when you can take off. Or you can still name your own price and save even more. Priceline, the best choice in travel.
The holiday taste of Sam's Club is here. Save time and money by shopping for all of your holiday business and home entertaining needs in one convenient stop. Visit the club this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to sample a variety of delicious food perfect for any occasion. While you're there, you can pick up gifts for your employees, family, and friends. During this busy holiday season, don't miss your chance to shop, sample, and save on all of your business and home entertaining needs at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club this weekend. Sam's Club, we're in business for small business.
Wondering which toys will be a big hit for the children this holiday season? Before you start your seasonal shopping, Week News consumer investigator Chris Safar brings you an exclusive series, The Great American Toy Test. Make sure your kids wake up Christmas morning with the best toy picks under the tree. Sunday, only on Wink News at 11.
Now, millionaires got a brand new lifeline called Switch the Question.
Computer, please switch the question.
Join Meredith Vieira on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Weeknights at 7 on Wink TV.
The holiday show that sparks a frenzy makes history.
You will have to see it to believe it.
Oprah's Favorite Things 2004. Next Oprah,
Monday at 4. Then after Oprah on Wink News at 5, it's time for one of Southwest Florida's favorite things, the Naples tree lighting. Join Wink News anchor Lois Tony and chief meteorologist Jim Farrell as they count down to the kickoff of the holiday shopping season. Monday on Wink News at 5, right after Oprah.
Planning a vacation? The U.S. Tour Operators Association wants you to know that you can travel with confidence when you book a trip with a tour operator. If a crisis occurs, a tour operator acts as an important link between their travelers and airlines, hotels, and the people back home. USTOA wants you to know that tour operators are your advocate. For more information, visit USTOA.com or call 1-800-GO-USTOA for a free copy of the Smart Travelers Planning Kit.
Fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not
what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, we do have some good news today. Excellent news. The Republican Congress raised the debt ceiling again this past week. What is it, $800 billion? It's now up to $7 trillion. They just keep raising it. I wonder why they didn't do that right before the election. Don't you wonder that too, boys and girls? Huh? Don't you wonder why we didn't invade Fallujah before the election, boys and girls? Don't you wonder things like that? I do. Oh, I do. And it makes me so angry. It makes me so angry that these people use every issue they can for a political football and they avoid the truth at all cost. It makes me really angry. But, yes, sirree, getting that debt ceiling up there. And, of course, they had Snow shuffling cards at the Treasury Department so that we wouldn't go bankrupt right before. And then they raised the debt ceiling. And I guess that makes it okay, huh? Remember, it's tax and spends Democrats. Isn't that the old saying? My God, what do you call these people? If the Democrats are tax and spend, what do you call these guys?
Whoa.
Nobody spent money. You know, I don't mind the fact, I do, but I don't mind the fact all that much that these guys are going to have to be held responsible for what they do in the next 4 years. And I think we're getting far enough away that they can't say it's Bill Clinton's fault anymore. God, I hope so. I really do hope so. But Well, it's taken its toll on me, and I know about you. You know, I've been getting email and phone calls by the dozens from Democratic friends who are saying not to worry because we're still in the majority. Say what? You know, take an honest look at the vote and tell me we're still in the majority. Put aside all the irregularities and abnormalities in the election and take a look at the numbers. We are not the majority. We're a minority. We need to act like it. We need to challenge the notion that we should now ride in the back of the bus. Those Americans who had to ride in the back of the bus and use separate restrooms fought their way out of that situation. And now it's up to us to do the same thing. And we will. We can and we will because we must. If we love this nation, we care for this nation, if we want this nation to get back on the right track, we must fight our way off of the back of the bus. You know, maybe in some warped way, this latest defeat will be good for us. Maybe we can now come to the realization that we can no longer just go along with the crowd or maintain the status quo and expect things to always go our way. You know, we lost this election because we didn't pay enough attention to a group that set out to defeat us a long time ago. A group that schemed and plotted for over 20 years and worked hard toward the goal that they're now achieving. And I don't have to tell you what that goal was. It was quite evident. They wanted to take over the House, the Senate, the presidency, the Supreme Court, and state houses all over America, and they've done it. And what did we do about it? Practically nothing. You know, I've seen it coming for a long time now because people like Falwell and James Dobson and Pat Robertson and more have been right up front about it. They never hid their agenda. They didn't have to. Because the Democrats, for all intents and purposes, ignored them and looked upon them as some sort of a splinter group that could do no harm. Well, look at them now. They're running the show. They're demanding repayment for Bush for their votes, and they're, you know, he's going to pay them. Oh, he'll pay them because they own the Republican Party now. Well, maybe they only have part ownership because corporate America certainly owns a big piece of them, too. So where do we go from here? What do you think? Where do we go? How do we reverse this seemingly unstoppable trend? I say we dig in and fight. We stop laying down and allowing this to happen. The evangelicals don't have sole ownership of religion in this country. You know, there are millions more religious people who don't agree with the evangelicals, but they haven't been very well organized, nor very well informed about the issues of the day. You know, our mission on this program is to educate people, to start a dialogue, to fit into our vision of what America should be. You know, the radical religious right needs to be confronted by the moderate and left-to-center Christians who don't believe in marriage.
...cut 97 teaching positions, as well as in the long term, between now and next year, they're thinking 4,000 staff positions. While we're raising the debt level to pay for somebody's interest, that's happening in Detroit. But not only in Detroit is that happening, because it's also happening in Cincinnati. And I'm not sure if you heard about that one.
Tell us about the Cincinnati. No, I was aware of a problem going on in Cleveland as well.
Yeah, well, in Cincinnati, they're planning to close a whole bunch of schools and consolidate them all in order to try to save money, because they don't have enough money. So what they're going to do is overcrowd the schools. They're going to jam all of these kids that come from all these different schools. They're going to close a bunch of buildings and lay off a bunch of staff and just send all the kids over to the schools that are already there. Maybe add some trailers to their campuses to help house them.
Wow.
And I think they're going to reduce the expectation of what the schools will be able to produce when you double them up that way. But we've got that happening in Cincinnati. We've got the mega layoffs happening in Detroit, and we've got Congress who somehow needs an extra $8 billion or so to pay for something that definitely is not going back to our communities. It's not going to public education anyway.
Well, and yet this man touted this No Child Left Behind Act, and half the people in America think he's the education president. isn't that something?
Yeah, that's something, because no matter how many more requirements they give you, or no matter how badly they cut the budget and what they take away from you, they still hold that you have to get your test scores better every year or else, which is statistically corrupt to begin with.
Sure.
And then, of course, it's much worse without the resources. Out here in California, 2 years ago, my school district did something similar. They didn't do it quite so drastically. They didn't lay off a bunch of people all at once. It's been a slow attrition. But my school, not this year but last year, doubled in size, and my classroom doubled in size. Same expectations, but we now have a student population of 900 students on a campus it's a temporary trailer campus that was built to house 400 with one set of bathrooms. And we're next door to another school who also doubled their enrollment, and they're working at 1,300 right now. And to make room for all the extra parents coming and going, because they cut the buses, there's no more busing, they tore up the playground, turned it into a parking lot, and we now house all 2,200 or 2,300 on the same playground from both schools, with only four supervisors out there no administrators on campus, because there's no money to pay for anything.
Oh, my.
We're on our own.
And you know, Kelly, I'm hearing this all across America.
All across. It's in my place in California, it's in Cincinnati, it's in Detroit, it's everywhere.
Yes. I know some local school districts I'm very familiar with back in Ohio having tremendous money problems, tremendous problems. And, you know, it's all over. And my God, who do we spend money on if it's not our school kids? Come on. It's sickening. It really is.
Well, but if what you really want to do is you want to increase the dropout rate, if you want to make it so difficult to graduate from high school or to make it through the system that you create this huge pool of dropouts, which then make great cannon fodder for the military,
I
don't know what better way to do it than exactly what's happening.
You know, Kelly, that might be what their aim is. The more uneducated kids we got, the more fodder we have for the military. You know, that's a nice thought, isn't it? My oh my.
Well, when I look out there at those kids in my classroom, and I can see the group of them that aren't going to make it jammed in as tight and crowded with the schedule that we've got, and I know what to do. I know if if you just give me the time and the resources, I know what they need and I can do it, but you don't give me the time, you don't give me the resources, you give me more than one person can reasonably do, and I look at those faces and know where they're headed, and I don't like it.
Well,
I don't like thinking that they're leaving me and heading toward a future where there's more and more roadblocks put in the way for them to be successful.
Do you think it's their aim, Kelly, to absolutely privatize all the schools?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. That's where they're headed here in Florida. There's no question about that. Starve the public schools to death and start all private schools. That's the way it looks.
That's what I think. Well, and I think that even though that's a long-term goal, they don't expect it to happen right away. I think it's working really well for them.
Yeah.
Right,
Kelly,
now it's working really well.
Thanks so much for your outlook on things. It's always good to hear from somebody that knows.
Okay.
And good luck in California, and good luck with your endeavors with the kids.
Okay. Thanks, Guy.
Thanks so much.
All right.
We're going to go to Juanita up in Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Juanita.
Hi.
Nice to have you along with us today.
Thanks. I have a couple of things I'd like to tell you.
Well,
or
all
talk
right.
with you about. Did you hear about Clinton on Peter Jennings' show?
A little bit. I heard a little bit about it. I heard he got a little feisty with Peter Jennings.
Well, I just wanted to read you just a little bit of this. The first one is from CNN on the Anderson Cooper show. He said, when ABC's Peter Jennings suggested that historians partly viewed him as a president with low morals, Bill Clinton got really testy. And he said, and I will go to my grave being at peace about it, and I don't really care what they think. And this Peter Jennings said, oh, yes, you do. Clinton said, they have no idea. And Jennings says, no, excuse me, Mr. President, you can't. I can feel it across the room. And Clinton says, no, no. And he says, you feel it very deeply. So then Clinton said, you don't want to go there, Peter. You don't want to go there. Not after what you people did and the way your network and what you do with Kenneth Starr, the way your people repeated every little sleazy thing he leaked. No one has any idea what that's like. That's where I failed. You want to know where I failed? I really let it hurt me. And then in another article, just one more little thing that he has said, he says, you never had to live, he told him this, you never had to live in a time when people you knew and cared about were being indicted, carted off to jail, bankrupted, ruined because they were Democrats and because they would not lie. So I think we showed a lot of moral fiber to stand up to that, to stand up to these constant investigations, to this constant bodyguard of lies, this avalanche that was thrown at all of us. And yes, I failed once, and I sure paid for it, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the American people, and I'm sorry for the embarrassment.
Well, you know, they were falling all over themselves. The day the library was being dedicated, here we had it on at home,
mm-hmm.
and it made the mistake of having, I don't know, who was it, MSNBC and CNN and all that, flip back and forth on those. But here they were. Here we had a president with awesome achievements while he was in office, and that's all they talked about was the impeachment.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't fair to him then. The media will never be fair to Bill Clinton. Never.
Yeah, I watched all of that stuff. I know what they did.
Yeah. We need to
know that. Well, I just wanted to tell you one more thing.
Okay.
I got really sick over this situation. I mean, really sick. My medicine quit working, and I had to go for counseling and all over this election because I know what can happen.
Well, it was a sad time.
And anyway, Rush has been laughing at people like me, mocking us and all. But you know what? I heard a say a long time ago, he who laughs last, laughs best.
That's
and
right.
You know who might laugh last? It's God.
Yeah, that's right. Juanita, thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
It's always nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
Well, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, you've been waiting, and you've been asking, and it's time to have a few minutes of Republican love. From time to time, we get letters from our Republican friends, our right-wing friends, and, they tell us how much they love us and so forth, and we like to share that with you. So, if someone can crank up the orchestra. Ah, there they are. You know, they never get rusty. They do a nice job. They really do. Isn't that sweet music? It's sweet music we've chosen to go along with these sweet letters. And let me start with the first letter I got this week from our Republican friends who have just won an election. Keep that in mind. They just won. Dear Guy James, King of the Liberal Bastards. Thank you for the king part. I heard what you said about Republicans voting for president being ignorant or stupid. I got to tell you, man, I'm not ignorant, and I'm sure as hell not stupid. I know more about politics and President Bush than you ever forgot. Let me read that sentence again. I know more about politics and President Bush than you ever forgot. That's what I thought it said. It goes on to say, I'm sitting here writing this letter to you on a computer, and that also, by the way, proves I'm not stupid. So what is your problem about calling us stupid? I think you are the stupid, and he got all big capital letters. I think you are the stupid one, you Yankee bastard. You made a smart-ass remark about the South being the same states voting for President Bush as voted for slavery. So the hell what? Is it illegal to vote for President Bush? Was it illegal to vote for slavery back then? Lots of my neighbors think we should still be able to vote for slavery if we want to, and if you had gumption and guts enough to visit us here in Clewiston, Florida, I would take you around and show you just why slavery might be a good idea for a few years to get rid of some of these people, get some of these people back in line again like they used to be. They think they own the place. And by the way, for those of you that are not from around here, Clewiston, Florida is one of the garden spots of Florida. I do want to add that. Yes, I do. And as far as making smart-ass remarks about the Confederate flag, you can just kiss my lily white. Well, you get the message there. The Confederate flag is our symbol here. It was here before the American flag. I love that one. It was here before the American flag and will be here after you simple-minded, cowardly bastards join the UN and do away with the American flag. When that happens, I'll guarantee you the South you make fun of will defend themselves against the rotten UN. A UN flag will never fly over my town, and I just hope I catch one of those foreign SOBs trying to put one up. If he tries, he'll get introduced to my best friends, Smith and Wesson, if you get my drift. Boy, it's a good letter. I like this. And as for being ignorant, you are the ignorant one. I don't think you know what the hell you're talking about most of the time. You sure don't know a damn thing about our president. Kerry married his money. G.W. Bush earned every penny of his business. I love that one. That's good. Oh, that's good. He goes on to say, earned every penny of it in his business. Well, let's see. This oil company went bankrupt. That oil company went bankrupt. Oh, well. And you show your ignorance about Bush when you said he executed more people than anyone else. I'll tell you this much. Every one of them people on death row needs to be 6 feet under tomorrow. Put tomorrow in all caps. So what if a few innocent ones who are in there, if most of them are guilty? Now, there's some real logic for you. Would you rather have the guilty ones running around and still alive instead of just a few who didn't do it dying? You are just real ignorant. It's a long letter. So you went to Washington. Big deal. It's a town that needs to be bulldozed into the ocean. I guess he doesn't know where Washington is. If enough presidents like Bush are elected, that's exactly what will happen, and then we can all live like we want to again without being bothered by some Washington SOB trying to tell us what to do down here. And that letter is from a gentleman named Granville from Clewiston, Florida. Granville, thank you so much for your very fine, fine letter, a perfect example of Republican love. Secondly, this one's interesting as well. Sir, a member of my church pointed out your program to me as an example of extremism and hatred for President George W. Bush, and even worse, hatred for God. I don't recall saying anything like that. I don't recall anybody on the show ever saying they hated God. That's kind of a... I don't know why anybody say that. Anyway, go on to say, I listen to your, quote, show, and show is exactly what it is, because after listening to you, I have determined that you couldn't possibly believe what you say, so, therefore, you are just making it all up. Well, Kathy, who wrote this letter, I hate to disappoint you, but you're wrong. I'm not making it up. Other political talk show hosts do a lot of that, but I assure you, I mean every single word I say. No showbiz involved. She goes on to say, you seem to get so much enjoyment out of making fun of Christians. Did you hear the part where I said I'm a Christian myself? You should be ashamed of doing that because Christians are good, decent, God-fearing people and do not deserve to be made fun of for political reasons. That's just not right nor proper. After all, it is church, the house of God, that we're talking about. I want everybody to pay particular attention this next couple of sentences. I think my orchestra died off on me here. I think they're back a little bit. After all, it is church, the house of God, that we're talking about here, and you should refrain from commenting about it on your show for political reasons. You know, Kathy, do you understand what you just said there? Church and politics don't mix. Haven't we been trying to get that through to you? And to use your logic, the church and its representatives can bash liberals and John Kerry and Democrats all they want, but the church is to be left alone after doing that? I don't think so. She finishes up by saying, we had your program on the computer in one of our Bible study rooms Saturday with about 18 people present, and almost all of them thought what you said about Christians was just terrible. Repent of your anti-Christian ways or you will spend eternity in the fires of hell. Well, Kathy, I seem a little bit judgmental there. I don't know. I could be wrong. And one last letter. And this is an exquisite Republican love letter. I love this. Just one last time. This is from Carl, spelled with a K. Just one last time I'd like to... One last time. Why would you say one last time when there hadn't been a first time? Just one last time, I'd like to come over there and kick the hell out of you. You are one stupid man. You spent the entire year ridiculing George W. Bush. He gets reelected, and still you make fun of him. When will you and your liberal freak friends ever realize that G.W. Bush is one of the greatest presidents ever? Well, I'd say when hell freezes over, when I'll probably realize that. He goes on to say he's done nothing wrong and everything right, and most of all, he is destroying you liberals, and that is a great thing for America. You are all godless, immoral, here we go, baby-killing, gun-hating homos. And if that's the way you want to live, then move to another country. We don't want you. We don't need you. We are America, and you are the outsiders. Well, I don't know, Carl. All 51% of you are America? I don't know. Get used to it, my liberal fag friends. You are going down. You will be destroyed. And the rest of us will dance on your evil homo AIDS-infected graves. Well, Carl, I want to thank you for a beautiful letter. The sentiments that you expressed in that touched my heart. They truly did touch my heart. And I thank you so much. So much for Republican love this week. And I think we can have the orchestra knock it off any old time now. Are we going to have the orchestra stop playing? Thank you very much. They get a little carried away. You know, once they get started, they don't get to play all that often. And so once you let them out and get them started, they don't want to stop. Let's listen to Nick in Texas. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Mr. James.
How are you today, Nick?
I'm good. As a young liberal, I wanted a way to get our messages out. As you said, to start a dialogue. You had a forum that I used to try and communicate with the opposition, but you buckled under pressure from the right and folded. Why did you concede to Mike of the right?
Oh, you can't carry on a forum when you've got a lunatic on it. Why would you do that? Why would you put the rantings of a lunatic up for everybody to see? I mean, that's not buckling. That's just doing your reading.
To make an argument. To make an argument.
I don't understand where you're coming from. The guy on our forum was a raving lunatic.
What?
And you don't need to hear from raving lunatics. We hear that enough every day on the right wing talk shows.
What did he specifically say that was not?
Oh, I don't remember. It's been so long ago. But the guy was just a raving lunatic. That's all there was to it.
It sounds like you're an idiot.
Oh, well, thank you for lying to get on the program about what you were going to say, and I do appreciate that. But, you know, being a liar and a coward by calling and saying that on the air, you fit right in with this very moral group of Republicans that we have currently in power right now. So thank you for calling in and lying to Biz to get on the air and lying about what you want to talk to. But, of course, lies are something we expect from the right. We heard them all during the election. We're still hearing them. And it's actually funny. It's a little bit pathetic, actually. Let's see. Who we let in? And see, that was Nick from Texas. Nick with the local telephone number from Texas. Let's go on over to Preston in Colorado. Hi, Denver. Hi, Preston in Denver. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. Hi, Guy.
Howdy.
I wanted to give you an update regarding the election here in Colorado. You may have noticed that Ken Salazar defeated Pete Coors.
Yes.
And also his Democrat brother won on the western slope of Colorado. And we also took over, Democrats took over the House and the Senate for the first time since 1960. And we also passed groundbreaking initiatives regarding clean energy development and mass transit. We actually raised a tax to fund a mass transit project, 119 miles of light rail.
Wow. You know, hats off to you guys. Here in Florida, we passed an initiative like that, what was it, 2 or 4 years ago?
Uh-huh.
And the voters rescinded it this time around.
That's a shame. It's
yes,
surprising,
it is,
too, since you're starting to bear the brunt of what might be, you know, security issues regarding climate change.
That, and we desperately need mass transit here. If you saw our highways here in southwest Florida, you'd understand why I said that.
Yeah. And I think people are getting kind of tired of all the asphalt we seem to be pouring all over the place. I read in one of the, I think, National Resources Defense Council Journal something about how we have now paved an area the size of the state of Ohio.
Is that right? Wow. That's,
yeah.
Wow. When you stop and think about that, that's a lot of blacktop.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we're kind of spreading it worldwide. This invasion's kind of a corporate sprawl effort. I think they want to build more roads.
Preston, I'd like to ask you a question. If somebody lives in Denver, and we know that Mr. Coors got beat, how is it that John Kerry got defeated in Colorado, and yet you were able to put a Democrat in the Senate?
That's a good question. Who knows? You know, sometimes I think Diebold and the other companies might be invested in slot machines too. But I'm not sure how accurate it all is. And I also know that 100 million people did not vote again, or maybe it was 90 million this time. And so there's a lot of disenfranchisement. There's a lot of hopelessness and despair and miscommunication and confusion. So a whole bunch of things. And we're preoccupied with a lot of things, you know, the financial pressures or sporting events or whatever. And it kind of takes us away from our political engagement. But I think, you know, Ralph Nader, once again, taught us the importance of being an engaged public citizen. And many people on the left and right disagree with him, but I think he's an honorable man. And I think he taught us much during his campaign.
Well, what do you think he taught the Democrats this time around?
Well, I think he continued to press issues like livable wage, which was taken up in Florida and was taken up in Nevada and passed. You know, that's something that neither candidate was talking a lot about. Likewise, he was talking about pulling out of Iraq. And it looks like the establishment candidates don't want to do that. But there are people on the ground who are listening to him and who are setting up groups like, you know, Global Exchange and just any number of groups and businesses as well that are trying to have decent relations with people in other parts of the world. I don't know. I think we can invest much more. You know, Eisenhower, you know, suggested that we invest less in the military and more into more helpful endeavors like renewable energy or, you know, any number of things. Healthcare,
well, I was always proud of Ike when it came down to that. I think it was him that made the you know, I won't quote him exactly because I can't, but for every dollar that's spent on military hardware, that's a dollar's worth of food taken out of
exactly.
Some poor kid's mouth in the world, and he was absolutely right about that. And who should know better than him?
Yes. He also initiated the preserving the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it's Republicans who are turning against their own legacy.
That's right. Hey, Preston, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Good to hear from the beautiful state of Colorado. I want to take just a moment before I get back to the phones. And by the way, you still got time to call 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. I want to thank some of our contributors to the program. As you know, this is a donor-sponsored program, and it takes a few dollars to stay on the air every week. And some of you contribute, and some of you don't, and that's your prerogative. But understand that for this program to stay on the air, we do need your contributions. And we'd like to thank all of you that do contribute to the program. And some recent contributors, David Goggins in Eureka, California, William Sherrill, Ralph Edmondson over in St. Louis, Vince D'Amici, Patrick O'Sullivan, Elizabeth Harlow, Virginia Miller and Elaine Miller from Newton, Iowa, Carolyn Patton-Dushke in Cape Coral, Florida, Barbara Presnell, Eric Peterson. And by the way, Eric, the maple syrup, pretty doggone good. We've all enjoyed it by now. We did enjoy that. Isn't that great? Leader sent us some, ooh, delicious Vermont maple syrup. Robert and Sable Wright from Durham, North Carolina. Preston Enright, Larry and Judy Galinsky from Naples. Ryan Veith, Bill Beaumont, William Sherrill from Syracuse, New York. Dale Danford, Luciano, Your City, Mr. and Mrs. Arnie Arneson. Jean Legg from Valley City, North Dakota. Tom, Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sir. Robert and Donna Wood, the Welshels of Moultrie, Georgia, Marianne Stottlemile from Murdoch, Florida. Yeah, I don't know where Murdoch is. I got to find out. Chris Kern from Hudson, Florida, Carolyn Wyatt from Madison, Wisconsin, and just a few more here, and we'll get back to the phones. Gina Gilbert Pollock, David Birch, Gretchen Adams, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Elena Labar, Helen Polker, Robert Wood, Vicki Sandek, Marie Nelson, Robert DeVale, J.D. Morrow, Linda Davis, Jeff Mattson, Joe Hinckley, Susan O'Donnell, Paul Johnson, Jeffrey Hales. Thank you so much to all you folks that help keep this program on the air. You're important to us, and we hope you continue your support and maybe get a friend or neighbor to help out as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Scotch in Port Charlotte. Hi, Scotch.
How are you? Is this ignorant? What, an ignorant Yankee bastard?
Yeah, ignorant Yankee bastard. It wasn't good enough just ignorant bastard. They had to put the Yankee on it.
Yeah. I don't have anything to say after that letter. He took all my wording. By the way, Murdoch, in case you're wondering, is kind of a suburb of Port Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've ever gone out to Englewood on 776. But if you make the turn there from 41 to Highway 776 to go out to Boca Grande or something like that, you're in Murdoch there.
All right.
And then you go out through El Jobin. And interestingly enough, the guy that developed that name was Joel Bean.
Good
and
deal.
And so he changed the name to El Jobin.
Well, you know how it is when you're not raised. I was raised in Ohio, and you learn every nook and cranny of that state, and then you move when you're in your later years. It's hard to catch up on all this stuff.
Well, if you're like me, you can't remember where the geography is back in your home state after you've been gone for a while.
Well, I still latch on to that. But yeah.
Now, where are you from in Ohio?
Oh, northwest Ohio, up in farm country.
Oh, northwest?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because I'm from southern Indiana, and I think probably 95% of the populace down where I'm from, if the Civil War had started, they would have fought for the South.
Oh, sure.
But I just wondered about where you're from in Ohio. But yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit. You were talking about the debt, and you're kind of giving the Republicans heck. And you can't really do that any more than the Republicans can give the Democrats heck for the thing. Because it's been going on, you know, for 80 years.
Well, it's been going on for 80 years, but
under both administrations.
Since Bush 1 took over, the debt has increased by more than it. I hope I have this right. I don't have the figures in front of me. But I believe in the last 12 or 16 or 18 years, the debt has increased by more than it had in all the time in American history before that.
That's right, but it has to. I mean, that's physics. It's got to go up exponentially. And if the Democrats come back in, the same thing will happen until our money becomes absolutely worthless. And then we'll grab anybody, just like they did in Germany when they grabbed Hitler. Remember, they had outrageous inflation there. And the same thing will happen here. The same thing happened under Napoleon. And the same thing, and it's been planned that way. And don't forget, the people that really got this started were the Democrats. Not that I'm taking sides there. I'm just saying that, you know, both of them did it.
Well.
Although I do think one of the people who were against this type of monetary system happened to be a Democrat himself, and that was the Lone Eagle's father.
Okay.
From Minnesota. Lindbergh.
Oh.
Charles Lindbergh. He was a congressman, and he was against that. But it just has to be that way. You realize, I hope, that every dollar you got in your checking account or in your pocket got there because somebody borrowed it.
Well,
debt.
The world goes around on debt, but we hate to be the number one debtor nation in the world.
But you're going to have to be as long as we take care of a lot of other nations and keep going out and expanding ourselves the way we have been.
Well, our foreign aid, as far as taking care of other nations now, is at a long-time low. We are not anywhere compared to our gross national product. Our foreign aid, we are no longer the big giver in the world. We're something like 18th on the list of developed nations as are giving as a percentage of our gross national product.
Oh, you can do anything you want to when you're using percentages. But I think it's kind of interesting that the one country we're giving most of the foreign aid to is the only country that the UN has found that doesn't make torture illegal. I thought that was kind of interesting.
The only nation we found that doesn't make torture legal.
Illegal.
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 Who is that?
Israel.
Oh.
You can torture any of your enemies over there, and it's perfectly legal.
Well.
But that's the only country that does that. Who's getting 30% of our foreign aid.
I certainly have a bone to pick with the money that we give to Israel from what we get back.
Let me tell you something else, too. When we give it to them, when we're in debt, so we have to borrow the money that we give them, and then a lot of their governments buy our bonds, so we're paying interest on it twice.
Well, God knows, we've certainly taken good care of Israel. I don't think they're appreciative of it sometimes, but they certainly are. Hey, thanks for calling, Scott. It's good to hear from you. We're going to go to Abe in Chicago. Hi, Abe.
Hey, how you doing, guy?
Fine.
Hey, we're down, but we're not out. Those Swift Bold liars made it sound like Kerry was a traitor. Just because he's communist, helping the VC defeat U.S. efforts to stop the People's Movement for Fair Employment. Did you shut the Mighty Righty Forum? Or why did you shut down the Mighty Righty Forum?
Boy, you know, it's amazing. These guys win an election, and they come back. I want to thank you, Abe, in Chicago, for making my point for me. I've talked about the voters for Bush being idiots, and you call and support everything I just said. It's amazing to me.
How is that, guy?
It's amazing to me that you spout the same crazy things on right-wing radio that you hear over and over again. You don't have a brain to think about it for yourself. Calling Kerry a communist. You know, how infantile and ridiculous and absolutely stupid is that? I do want to thank you for making my point. You're an idiot. And once again, I will say that all 59 million people, maybe not all of them, but all 59 million people that voted for Mr. Bush is just as ignorant as you are. So thank you for calling and making my point. I do appreciate that because I think some people don't believe how stupid the people were, many of them, not all of them. I don't want to condemn them all, but there's one right there that doesn't have the sense he was born with. And it scares you when you hear people like that actually went out and voted and have no idea what they're talking about. Don't have any idea whatsoever. You wonder how a guy like that right there makes it by in life. You wonder if he has a job. You wonder if he works in the back room at Walmart. You wonder if he's got an old pickup truck with a gun in the back window and the big tires on it and all the Confederate flag and all that sort of thing. Truly a hate monger. The kind of person that is a personification of the average Republican in the South. I do want to say that. Over and over and over again, these people call and they prove my point. Just wait till this guy gets drafted. If the draft comes back, this guy's a perfect example. If the draft comes back, you know, it's a bunch of homophobic hillbillies. It's about knuckle dragging, slack jawed, ignorant yokels like that. The inbred Bible thumpers, you know, hicks, redneck, racist, rebel yelling. You know, there's a guy right there who's probably a proud grade school graduate. You know, made it through the seventh grade and had his little ceremony and all that, and that was the end of it for him. So, not all of you, certainly not all of you, but many of you. You know who I'm talking about. I think we're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200. We'll be right back. I love calls like that.
James Show.
No matter what you're doing to lose weight and improve your health, one of the keys to success is variety. The more food you can enjoy as part of the regimen, the less bored you'll be, the less likely to cheat, and the better your chances of sticking with the program for long-term success. For people following the Atkins nutritional approach, there's now a cookbook that offers more than 175 delicious and satisfying recipes, all designed to help diners reduce their carbs. Atkins' Best Recipes, the first full-color Atkins cookbook, is terrific for both newcomers and longtime devotees. Each recipe features nutritional information and indicates the appropriate phases of Atkins. Dishes are divided into such chapters as appetizers and snacks, soups and stews, breakfast and brunches, and desserts and sweets. Readers will also find tips for stocking a low-carb kitchen, plus a handy carb gram counter to arm you with all you need to know to live a controlled carb lifestyle. Atkins Best Recipes is available at newsstands and supermarkets.
Hi, I'm Doris Roberts. Finding affordable quality child care is a daily struggle for parents. 29 million children in America need a place to go while their parents work. Working mothers with young children spend more money on child care than they would on public college tuition. By supporting the efforts of Colonel's Kids, you can help make quality YMCA child care available to more children. To help, please visit colonelskids.com or ymca.net.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
There today, listen to the Guy James Show. We got a big internet audience out there today and a local audience as well. Always glad to have all of you along. You still got time to call the program, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And 479-5540 locally. So if you'd like to call, go right ahead. And let's go to Eddie in Gainesville. Says he wants to talk about the righties who are calling in.
Hey, Guy, I'm going to tell you something, man. Just because these people are over here calling, we need to have a way of talking to them. Just because you folded to the mighty righty, Big Mikey, doesn't mean that you're feeble. Well, actually, it does mean you're feeble. But I want to know.
Let's see. What we have here is another. You know, they're out in force today. Cockroaches are usually more than one in a group. And, yeah, usually cockroaches are more than one in a group. Usually they are more than one cockroach in a group. And it seems you came out in droves today. It seems like you get one cockroach call in, and you get one after another after another. You know, you get one call in, and...
You're not going to unite with the president?
Listen, I don't know who you think you're talking to here.
Come on, man.
But you've made my point one time after another after another today. And it's not good enough that you've won the election. You've got to continue the crap that you do. And to call in and lie to the people on the board here, you just make our point over and over and over again. When we talk about you being slack-jawed, inbred idiots, you're the personification of that. Why do you not understand that people making, you know, there's thousands of people right now understanding that my point has been made? Why are you so ignorant, so stupid as not to realize that? How could you not know that people listening all across this country right now say, there's another one. There's another one that he was talking about right there. There's that racist, rebel-yelling Confederate flag-waving guy right there. Why don't they realize that? Why don't they realize how absolutely idiotic they sound? Over and over and over again they do it. I don't understand it. You know, if I somehow were made to look like an idiot, and if like this fellow was, and the other two guys that called earlier, I wouldn't flaunt it. But they like flaunting their idiocy for some reason. You know, I made a point today about the red states, and I guess they didn't like it, but they're going to have to live with it because the red states that elected this guy. There's a perfect example of them right there. Who knows? Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, is this Mr. James?
Yes.
Hi, yeah, I wanted to take up issue with the way you're calling people slack jawed and knuckle dragging.
Okay.
I disagree with you quite often, and even though I don't come on your show and call names of Kerry and all that, it's just, that to me, it's like, it doesn't seem like you have to lower yourself to that level and say stuff like that.
Well, when people act like that, you just tell them what they are. I mean, I don't make anything up about them. That they've proven what I've told them.
Yeah, but it just seems like such a low way to go to use those kind of names and then say that they probably graduated out of seventh grade. I mean, I'm a college-educated man, and I tell you, you really infuriate me sometimes.
Well, so?
Well, there's been instances when I paid attention to the news, and the next day I hear you, and you sound like you're saying the totally opposite thing of what I observe.
Listen, friend, let me tell you one thing right now. If you hear something on the news that's a fact, you will never hear me dispute a fact. Never. I've challenged people over and over and over again on this program in the 2 years it's been on to call me up and prove that I've not told the truth about something. And you know what? No one's ever done it.
Okay,
no one's ever done it. So, you know, you're not going to be the first one. And personally, you know, this is my show. If you want a show you don't like the way I talk about things, well, you get your own show. It's America. You can do that if you want to. You know, you got the right to dissent if you want to. You don't have to agree with me. And furthermore, you don't have to listen to the program. You don't have to listen at all. Let's see here. Who do we have? Let's go to Lisa in North Fort Myers. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I just wanted to know, did you watch Frontline last night?
No, I didn't.
Well, they had a piece on Condoleezza Rice on there, and it's absolutely scary. Everything that she missed leading up to 9/11.
Oh, it was like someone had earplugs in her inner. You know, I can't believe the things she overlooked.
All the papers that came across her desk that she just paid no attention to, and she didn't bring this stuff up to President Bush, and now he's given her a promotion. That just makes no sense whatsoever. It's twice as scary now that he's given her a promotion.
Oh, yeah. And here you go, Lisa. We've got a woman who's now Secretary of State that the rest of the world has no respect for this woman whatsoever.
Well, why would they? She just repeats everything that Bush tells her to repeat.
Right.
That makes no sense to me.
Exactly right. And, you know, how we're supposed to regain our respect in the world stage with her as Secretary of State is beyond me.
It makes no sense. And if you look at the way those two look each other, I mean, they look each other like that they each think the other one's God or something, and that makes no sense whatsoever. What's the moral majority? What do they think about that?
Yeah, I'd like to know that myself. Seemed like a strange relationship to me.
They exercise together. They watch football games together. What's with that? What does Laura think about that?
I don't know what Laura thinks. I wish I did.
If that was my husband who was looking adoringly at another woman, I certainly wouldn't like it.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of strange things on in this White House, I'll tell you. Hey, Lisa, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank
you. Appreciate hearing from you.
Okay.
Let's go to Elaine, clear out in beautiful New Mexico. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
I just found your show today.
Oh.
And I love it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. That's all I can say. I want to let you know, I have worked polls for the last 3 years in this state. And let me tell you, we always find these extra votes days after the election's over. They found some this time, too, but they didn't work this time. Last time, Gore got it. But there's a lot of hanky-panky going on. There always has been in this state. I've only lived here for the last 9 years, and I love the state, and I love a lot of the people. But I'm telling you, they do some crazy things here. And when I was living in Missouri, I know there was things going on there because in the St. Louis area, we have the same. We took off a lot of stuff like Chicago. We believe that the dead should be able to vote.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Here, it's just crazy. I mean.
Well, you know, next year, we really thought we might carry New Mexico this year. And
I honestly think you did.
Well, I don't remember exactly how. How far off the vote was there? I can't remember how many. It wasn't very many. It wasn't very many at all. But I don't know what we're going to do in that area of the country out there. actually, Arizona is a lot like the state of Florida. Arizona, for example, your neighbors there used to be very Democratic, and then lots of people from the east started moving in, and the same has happened here in Florida, and has switched over from being Democrat to Republican.
Yeah, that's what's happened here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's happening all over, and of course, with in Arizona with the explosion of Phoenix, and you know, you got some big metro areas out there right now.
Well, the question I have is, what, as a country, what are we going to do about these elections? I mean, we're not having fair elections.
Well, first of all, we need some Democrats that have a little intestinal fortitude to stand up on the House floor and the Senate floor and make a suggestion in front of the Senate and House and God and the public and everybody that we need to do something about these elections, because I don't have to tell you, the American people are losing faith in the elections. It's something that when I was a kid, I know about the Chicago things and all, but when I was a kid, people didn't question the national election. It was something that after it was over with, yeah, there was probably a few votes off in there. But it wasn't, though, that we thought we needed monitors all over the place, and now we think we do. I'll never trust another election. Hey, Elaine, thanks so much for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Got to move on.
Okay.
I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Guy James Show. And you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Regrets after the Rumble? I'm Joan Bennett.
So there goes Artest after somebody in the stands. And he is going after a fan, and he is waylaying a fan, and this thing is now getting ugly.
WDFN's Mark Champion doing play-by-play of last night's brawl at the Palace at Auburn Hills, Michigan. NBA has suspended four players for their involvement in the dust-up.
Ron Artest, Jermaine O'Neal, and Steven Jackson of the Pacers, and Ben Wallace of the Pistons have been suspended indefinitely by the league. Commissioner David Stern says the league is continuing to investigate, and that should be completed by Sunday night. Stern called the incident, which spilled into the stands at the Palace and involved several fans, shocking, repulsive, and inexcusable, a humiliation for everyone associated with the NBA. The Pacers have a game tonight against Orlando, so Artest, O'Neal, and Jackson are to begin serving their suspension immediately. The Pistons' next game is Sunday. Sunday night. John Clossy, ABC News, New York.
Auburn Hills police say they hope to pass the case on to prosecutors by Thanksgiving. They'll determine whether to file charges. President Bush at the Asia-Pacific Economic Summit in Chile delivered a message to North Korea's leader.
And the message is clear to Mr. Kim Jong-il. Get rid of your nuclear weapons programs.
Mr. Bush trying to marshal international support to pressure Iran and North Korea into cooling their nuclear...